Hi, everybody. It's Ari Shaffir. How are you guys? Welcome to my podcast called Ari Shaffir Skeptic Tank. I just woke up. These are the first words I'm saying for the week. We have an Oscar show this week. Did I say welcome to Ari Shaffir Skeptic Tank? It's an Oscar show this week. I'm going to talk about the Oscars. My friends Mark Ellis and Christian Harloff, both comedians from the Comedy Store. Harloff doesn't really come anymore, but Ellis is still there all the time. They have a show. They have a job, I guess. They started reviewing movies for the internet a while ago. They started doing web videos, and then they started working for Fandango or I don't know, all these other places. But they went all in with the fucking movies. They just started reviewing them. So they have this thing called Schmoes Know. They have a podcast called The Schmoes on Toad Hop Network. It's on iTunes and stuff. But that's all they do. They just see movies. They turn themselves into like real reviewers. They go to screenings and stuff with the other real reviewers. It's pretty cool. It's a pretty cool way to make a living. And they're just funny guys. So they do it in their own funny, you know, comedic way. So I had them come in, and they met me at the Comedy Store in the belly room, and we went over all the Oscar predictions and stuff for this year and what it's like to be a reviewer. So it's pretty fun. And then we got interrupted by dickwad Pauly Shore, who loves to interrupt shit. I'll talk about it in the outro, I guess, in the exit interview about his deal. But anyway, so that's this episode. It's all about the 2013 Oscars. I don't know if you guys see the movies or not. I stopped watching the Oscars. I stopped giving a fuck about it. By the way, if you shop on Amazon.com, please shop through my website. Go to AriTheGreat.com and click on the Amazon link, and that'll take you to Amazon, and then continue doing your shopping as is, and then Amazon will give me like 5% cash back from their end, not from your end. So you still shop the same way you would on Amazon, and you should shop on Amazon. Don't buy anything in real life anymore. I was in Venice, and I got, you know, those magic flights. I don't know if you guys know them. They're a pretty cool vaporizer. It's just like, it looks like a little wooden box with a glass top on it. It's just plastic. And then a little battery that you put in, it sticks halfway out the side. They look like they're $7, but they're $120 to $170. And I used one, in Raleigh, where I was at Goodnight's, the opener had one. And we used it a few times, and it's cool. And eventually I was like, you know what? I want to get that. It's a good portable vaporizer. So I went into one of those Venice boardwalk stores, and I was like, hey, how much are your flights? Because I just want to see how much it compared. And then what you do is you go straight from there to Amazon, cross-reference it, and see if you should just buy it now. If it's like $3 more, then just buy it right there. And if it's like $10 more or $40 more, you say, fuck you. I mean, you don't have to say that, but pretty much in your head, go, fuck you, I'm getting a deal. And you just go to Amazon, and you get it for way cheaper, and it'll be at your apartment at your door, and you don't have to carry it around the Venice Boardwalk for 2 hours. It'll be at your door in 2 days. So, and no tax or anything. So the guy was like, oh, buddy, I know. He was some sort of level of off-white. You know those, Armenian, Persian, Israeli, something off-white. And he goes, okay, buddy, I see. I know what you're talking about. You call it by name. I give you 119. I show you on the order form. They tell me it should be 119. And I was like, all right, it's actually a pretty good deal. And I went straight to Amazon anyway. And that's how much it was. And I was like, all right, you win. I'll buy it from you. And I got it. And I brought it home. And in the box was a brick. Not the magic flight. So I got robbed. I'm not kidding. But I was worried about that. Because all those people from the Middle East, I always think they're cheating me. I always think they're up to something. They're so pushy. I always think they're up to something. Either beating their wives or fucking taking you on some deal. But that's what they do a lot. Those guys. I mean, I know most of them don't do that. But the ones that do that and work in electronic stores or bong shops on a fucking touristy area, they're looking to rob you. Or cheat you in some way. That's how they get off. That's how they come home and they tell their wives, like, oh, baby, you don't see what I did today. This guy come in. He want a deal. He's looking to buy something to exchange money for goods and services. And I abuse him. I know he won't be back for 2 weeks. I fucking rob him. Yay, we did it. Let's have another kid and give him a Mercedes-Benz when he's 16 and don't give him any sense of value in earning a good dollar. That's what we do. That's our contribution to society. It got French there after a while. I think it did. But seriously, Persians and Armenians, you know what I'm talking about. And Israelis. So that's it. So do that. Go to my website. Go to arithegreat.com. Click on the Amazon link. If you're Canadian, click on the black one. It's amazon.ca. If you're American, click on the brown one. And then go do your shopping on Amazon. That'll help support my podcast. So anyway, I'm going to tell you about when I stopped watching the Oscars completely. It was 2002, but it was for the 2001 Oscars. And one of the Lord of the Rings things was nominated, but that was stupid. But A Beautiful Mind was in there, and In the Bedroom was in there. And In the Bedroom, if you've never seen it, is a great fucking movie. It's a piece about coping with loss, and it's just real. It shows real emotion and real situations that could happen and how humans would deal with it. And it was just touching. And they showed the passage of time really, really well. I remember the Lord of the Rings was in that nomination. And when they were like walking, and it's supposed to be like months passed by, and they were just walking in the snow. I didn't really get it. It seemed like, you know, they walked for like a day. But In the Bedroom had this, I forgot who directed, but he did a really good job of passing time. But who did direct it? Oh, Tom Wilkinson was in it. He was fucking sick. He was great. Todd Field? That's who directed it? Didn't he direct? Is that adaptive screenplay? I don't know. Todd Field. That's a different guy, I guess. Who am I thinking of? Who did The Hangover? Todd Phillips? Oh. So this guy, Todd Field, he did two movies. That's it. Wow. In the Bedroom and Little Children. I don't remember what Little Children was. Three Oscar nominations. Wow. I guess he's just good at what he does. In the Bedroom was so good. And it lost to... A Beautiful Mind. A Beautiful Mind was so goddamn stupid. Here's why. If you liked it, obviously everyone's entitled to their opinion, but in this case, your opinion is wrong. And here's why. Because A Beautiful Mind, if you don't remember, it's the one where the dude from the slave movie, the Roman slave movie, Gladiator, he goes crazy, literally. He's in some English college. And he starts being a schizophrenic, starts seeing somebody, that dude from the tennis movie with the chick from that movie about being on a rock tour. He starts seeing him just all the time, just like as if he was another student, I think at Oxford or something. And then while he was at Oxford, before he went completely crazy, he invented some mathematical formula. And then the whole movie is about him overcoming his schizophrenia. Which, by the way, in real life, it's based on real life, he never does. He doesn't overcome it. In the movie, his wife sticks with him. She helps him fight through it. And even though he almost kills their child by fucking running the fucking bath and then leaving to go to the garage for a while and putting the child in the bath and he almost drowns, the wife sticks with it. It was the chick from, the movie where the Japanese attacked Hawaii. I think she was in that. Yeah, in the movie, she sticks with him. In real life, she's like, no, fuck this crazy asshole. You almost killed my child. And she got the fuck out of the relationship. That's the real story. But anyway, in the movie, I get that you're supposed to change reality for the fucking movies, for a story. But like, in the movies, oh, by the way, we're doing my storyteller show for Comedy Central Digital. We're going to take off for a few weeks, and then we're going to tape it. I have to see what the date is. It's probably going to be mid-April. Or maybe early April. I'll tell you guys the details for the show, but it'll be taped. We're going to do it somewhere downtown LA or somewhere like cool, not at a comedy club. I looked at that place, Verscucci, that really cool sausage place downtown, which could work if we moved out all the tables and put in chairs and stuff. So anyway, I'll give you updates and stuff. But anyway, so this chick, leaves in real life, but in the movie she doesn't. So this guy, the whole time, the whole movie, he's trying to overcome this illness, overcome. And then they start looking at that mathematical formula. He's like 55 now, 60 years old now. He was a professor at the school for a long time, or he lived right near the school. He always fought his schizophrenia. He always told the guy, look, dude, I know you're not real. I can't talk to you, but doesn't fucking overcome it. And then they find that formula and they're like, oh, it turns out it's still true. And they start trying to nominate him. Anybody, by the way, who gives me shit about this long opening, go fuck yourself. And then they nominate him for some, not Academy Award. What's the real awards? Nobel Prize for mathematics. And they tell him, well, you gotta show that you're not fucking schizo anymore and then we'll let you win. So he shows him. He's like, yeah, I've got it under control. And then he wins. And when he wins his award. And everyone stands up and claps for him, and the music is going, and he gets up there, and he's able to hug his wife, and then he sees the schizo, the imaginary dude that he thought he saw all those years, and he said, you didn't win this time, brother. He didn't say those exact words, but he may as well have. And everyone cried, including Ari Shaffir. He's crying, but the whole time I'm crying, I'm thinking, he didn't overcome anything to get this award. He did it when he was fucking 19 as a college sophomore, and they just found it later. It wasn't like all the overcoming he had to do and almost killing his child. None of that led him to winning this award. It's not like Rocky, who had to overcome all this in order to beat Apollo Creed. It's not like Eminem, who had to overcome the shooting of Future and Tretch, or whoever his friends were in 8 Mile, in order to win and get his fucking rap game going, in order to win the rap battle. This guy won when he was 19, and the rest of the movie had nothing to do with him winning. Zero. So him winning was just a matter of fact. So I'm crying there, seeing how shitty it was. As soon as the movie ended, I slammed my drink down on the tape, on the floor, just slammed it down. I was sitting next to Steve Simone, so fucking pissed. The second the first credit went, I was like, fuck this. And I slammed it down and went right outside, and I started playing video games until those guys came out to join me. It was so fucking dumb. Anyway, I think actually Ellis and Harloff might have been there with me. I'm not sure. But so that movie, In the Bedroom, being so good, and A Beautiful Mind being such a fucking wreck. Anytime they put on nice music and show everyone clapping and standing up, just like in that movie, The Hoo-Ah. You know that movie? I'll find out that fucking movie's name right now. It's with Al Pacino. You know what I'm talking about. Scent of a Woman, 1992. That might have won something too. And in the end, everyone stands up and claps for fucking for Robin from Batman and Robin, and they didn't know that guy. He was just a nerd they didn't like. And then Pacino gives this great speech as a blind dude, and they all start, yeah. But if that was real school, they'd be like, he's talking about the nerd? Fuck this blind asshole. Fuck him. He doesn't teach us anything about life. But the thing is, when you have a speech in front of a big group of people in a movie, and you have the music going, the violin, and not the sad violin, but the emotional violin, you're always going to emote for me. You're always going to get that emotion. I'm always going to cry. Just like when you see The Natural, if I can see those 5 minutes where fucking The Natural, Rob Redford, or Newman, I don't know if I get one of the old guys, when he hits that home run and crushes the lights and starts going off, I'll cry every time because the music is going, because it's so cinematic. But that's what they did in A Beautiful Mind. It was so fucking dumb. And when that movie won for best picture that year, and the only reason, by the way, is because it made so much more money. I'll show you. Where is it? Okay. A Beautiful Mind made, as of the nominations for best pictures, it made $113 million. In the Bedroom, as of the nominations, it had made $19 million. God. And In the Bedroom was released like a month earlier. Anyway, when that didn't win, I was so fucking pissed. And I was like, I'm done with Oscars. I'm just done with them. They're all just about money. I mean, not completely, but a lot of it. When fucking, you know what won for Best Picture? over Pulp Fiction, one of the greatest movies of all time, a fucking wonder, Quentin Tarantino at his masterful best. If you haven't watched that movie, it's so goddamn rich and full of extra details you don't even understand. Like every time John Travolta is nearby or in the scene or about to be in a scene, there's a red race car or a race car somewhere in the scene. I learned that I was watching the fucking movie for class, and I had to watch it. I had to watch it like 15 times in a week and a half. That's what the teacher said, Robert Kolker. He was like, "You can do that movie for your paper, but you got to watch it a bunch." And I did. And I realized at some point, when after he shoots that guy in the face in the back seat of his car in Pulp Fiction, guy from Mad TV, I don't know people's names. I just know what else they've been in. After he shoots him, they're all cleaning it, and Samuel L. Jackson is really riding Travolta, saying he fucked up. And Travolta's like, "Dude, I'm like a race car. I'm ready to go off. I'm about to hit. Fuck, I'm in the red right now." And then I realize, like, oh, wait a minute. And then you go back through that movie, and every single time he's about to come in or he's in the scene, there's a race car or a red race car, something around there. Like when he overdosed Uma Thurman on his heroin or something, when she snorted it like it was coke and it was bad. Or I don't know. I don't get those kind of drugs that much, but I don't understand them. But and then he has to go to the drug dealer's house. The drug dealer's just sitting there eating cereal, wearing a Speed Racer t-shirt. And then I did 1 and 1 = 2, and I was like, oh, fuck. So he's sitting there eating cereal, watching cartoons, wearing a Speed Racer t-shirt. That's Tarantino telling you, hey, Travolta's about to enter the scene because he's associated with a red race car. And so then, boom, phone rings. It's Travolta saying, I'm coming over there. And the guy's like, don't you come over here. And then, you know, 5 seconds later, he's on his front lawn. Then here's where it gets awesome. So when Bruce Willis is going back into his apartment to find his watch, his girlfriend forgot it. Again, girl's getting him into trouble. She starts crying because girls get emotional. If you want to buy them flowers, by the way, proflowers.com through my website, arithegreat.com. So she starts getting emotional. He has to go, whatever. She forgot it. He's on the lam. He's hiding from Ving Rhames. He's going to get killed if he sees him. So he goes to his old apartment. Hopefully no one's staking it out. He opens the door quietly. He starts walking inside. Nobody's there. He's scot-free. He's been on the lam for a day or two. They must have searched his apartment. Wasn't there. Realized he moved out and said fucking left. So he's scot-free. He's just got to find the watch. So he starts walking into the house all cocky and shit. Gets a watch. Figures to make himself a sandwich. But as he walks in the foyer, black people, it means like the area where you're coming into the house but haven't fully gotten into the house yet. Mexicans too. Any non-Jews. So he walks in, and they cut to a shot of just from his waist to his ankles. And it's just like a 2-second shot. You don't even notice it. But as he walks by on this little, like a nightstand or a chest of drawers, not chest of drawers, but there's, Jesus, it's hard to record things first thing in the morning. A cabin, I don't know, whatever. You know what I'm talking about, just some shelves. On one of the shelves is this model of a race car. And it doesn't really call attention to it, but he just walks right by it. And that's pretty much Tarantino's way of telling you, hey, Travolta's in here. He's coming. He's here. That's the race car. He's associated with that. And so then Bruce Willis is making himself a sandwich, and all of a sudden he hears the toilet flush, and it sees a gun right there, and it's goddamn Travolta put his gun down and used the bathroom at Bruce Willis's house. He was giving the audience a warning. And then later he would give Bruce Willis that same warning by saying the gun there. What a great fucking movie. What an amazing movie. That lost to Forrest Gump. Which, who really remembers Forrest Gump? I mean, people remember having seen it, but nobody talks about that shit anymore. It's not a part of American culture anymore. You just sort of half remember it. And Pulp Fiction only won for best screenplay and not for best picture or best director. He did a great directing job. Anyway, that was the first step of the Oscars that I was done with. And then this In the Bedroom and A Beautiful Mind, that's what finished it off. And I was just done forever after that. It's just stupid. It's just a stupid award show All the richer movies make more money. They decide who they want to give it to. Just like when Denzel Washington won for Training Day, like that wasn't the best actor, even close. He wasn't even a lead actor. The other guy was a lead actor. But they were like, it's time to give it to black people. We haven't given it to a black person in fucking 250 years since slavery was invented. So it's time to give it to a, and they decided, like, we're going to, so it's like, well, this isn't about quality or anything. I mean, he's good, Denzel Washington. He should have won it for 20 other things. Man on Fire. Anyway. But I'm doing a Oscar episode regardless. So for those of you who still watch it, here they are. And it's not just about the Oscar ceremonies itself. It's also about just movies in general and what it's like to do movie reviews as a living. It's a pretty cool job. My special is available now at chill.com. If you go to chill.com/Ari, pick it up. It's $4.99, and it's what I worked on for the entire 2012. So seriously, if you want to support the podcast, just go do it right now. It's so easy. You get 5 streams. I did it myself just to try it. I think it's the first comedy that I haven't stolen ever. Just because I wanted to see what the process was. You get 5 streams where you just hit it and it just plays right there, and you get 5 downloads. So if one fucks up, you get another one. Don't worry. And you can just have it. You can save it to your computer and just have it forever. And while you're there, pick up my CD from September. They have physical CDs. They have vinyls. They have T-shirts and posters from this, grinders, all that stuff. You can get it all at once. And then get the CD, get the special for free if you want. But seriously, come on. Just go do it. If you're like, oh, I don't know, maybe, or you don't usually buy stuff online, do me a favor and just buy this. If this experiment works, then a ton more comics will start doing these. We'll all just start saying, fuck the network, fuck doing a shittier version of our stand-up, where if you see stand-up on television, you're like, eh, it's good, but it's missing something. You know what that something is? That's some executive coming in and putting their dumb, idiot stamp on it. You don't know shit. You know a little bit about what your demographic is, and you know what your preference is. And so they say shit in order to be heard rather than have something to say. Bobby Lee used to do it to people, where you start giving them advice, not based on him wanting to give advice, not like wanting to tell them, impart something on them, but wanting to impart anything on them. So he'd be like, here's my advice. Instead of saying, dude, you're looking down way too much when you're on stage. Instead of that, he'd be like, maybe you should. And he's thinking on the fly. He's like, dude, you have nothing to say. So just don't give advice. Man, this is going long as fuck. Maybe I'll do this as an outro. This was way too long, right? No, it's an intro. Let's just start the show. I'm going to be in Long Island March 1st and 2nd. I'm going to be in Vancouver in the middle of March. April, I got a bunch of stuff. Moon Tower, make plans to go out there. And then April 20th, I'm going to be in Seattle. And possibly Seattle is at 4:20 in the afternoon at Parlor Live. Get tickets. Their website is really shitty, so I can't send out a link on Twitter or Facebook. So you have to go to the website. ParlorLive.com probably, and get tickets to the 4:20 in the afternoon show. And then I might be in Olympia that night at a dispensary show. I might take a train straight from there at like 6 o'clock or something, and then 6:30, 7, and then go straight to Olympia and do a show there at a dispensary. Fucking Washington State, way to legalize pot. And then I got a bunch more gigs in April. Come, and that's when I'm taping the Storyteller show. And I think, and check out my website, arithegreat.com. You can find all the dates. So let's start the episode. If I didn't wrap up about the fucking, my feelings about the Oscars, who cares? It's pretty much done. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm so crotchety today. Well, that's what we'll name the episode. Ladies and gentlemen, Ari Shaffir Skeptic Tank, episode 103, I believe, unless Doug Benson was 103. Doug Benson was a good one, by the way. And if you listen to it early, there's 16 minutes right in the middle, right after the break, that I just didn't upload. So if you heard it early, all this stuff with the girls, and there's a homeless guy, and then Doug talks about dating this pill head. It was all important and good. So go back and listen to the middle 16 minutes, right at the 1 hour mark. And really listen to the Dennis and Ryan episode Deliverance. That was really funny too. So Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank, episode 103. Oscar the Grouch with Mark Ellis and Christian Harlow. The psychedelic factory will find me in the matinee, the dark of the matinee. It's better in the matinee, the dark of the matinee is mine. Yes, it is. Well, let's start anyway. All right, I'm here with Christian Harloff and Mark Ellis.
What's up, Ari?
How are you guys?
Good, man.
Oh, you got one of those things for the stand things for your iPhone?
I have a kickstand for my iPhone, and I bought it the day I got my iPhone, and it doesn't have a glass cover to protect, because you know how you see people with iPhones that are like shattered and cracked and stuff?
Yeah.
I've never dropped it. Yeah. And when I open the kickstand at like bars and stuff,
yeah.
people look at it like it's more impressive technology than the actual iPhone. Like they're amazed by it.
That's not an expensive one though at all.
No, it's like it was like $25.
You do sideways
and you
or
can
top
do it really? Sideways or you can do it top yeah. ways. And Ari just kind of ruined the cheat because we were going to use it. We were going to sound like we knew everything we were talking about with the Oscar picks.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I guess I kind of gave it away,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, they wouldn't know.
People have iPhones. It yeah. doesn't mean they're ruining Oscar picks. You guys don't need to know them all anyway. So you guys have this podcast, huh? For the you've both like gone all in with movies.
Yeah, well, we do the podcast. And yeah. We started with the YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And then we're over like 38,000 subscribers now. And we were like, let's just do a podcast. So we did a podcast on Toad Hop Network.
On top of the
reviews, yeah, because we started, okay. for like Fandango and Movies.com, we do our reviews, and then we're like, we'll talk a little longer, so we started doing the.
They pay you to do those?
Oh yeah,
yeah. It's pretty full time now. It's pretty crazy because it started out we were just doing like movie reviews for fun,
yeah,
and then mm-hmm. we started doing like maybe three a week, and we're like, this is fun, but you know you got to pay to see movies, yeah. so you're losing some money that way.
We spend a lot of money on movies,
and now it's like we get all these offers to go to press screenings. We can't make every press screening. We get invited to, and then on top of that, we do the podcast and we do like a box office show on Sundays.
Yeah. What's a box office show?
Well, we do every Sunday. We'll do like the top five projected like box office winners.
Yeah,
and then you know we have the audience kind of predict and say who they think's going to win, and we give like shout outs.
Top five winners of most money.
Of what? Who makes the most money
that
for the
weekend?
Week.
Yeah. I guess it every week because right. I don't look at it ahead of time, and I'm terrible.
His average. Oh,
I was like, he can't be great at it.
No. Why wouldn't you think I'm good at it?
Well, it's just tough to predict.
People would think that if like I do this, you know,
all the
for
time.
So long that I should know it. I'm like 2 out of 5 is my average.
What was it?
2 out of 5 in the top five or by the order?
By order. So okay. I have to guess the order, and sometimes it's like, oh, this point, this million, yeah. point, that million.
And we have a contest going. We do a show on Machinima ETC that we do, and we have a contest
you
going.
You do what?
Right
on what?
A TV show. On
ETC?
Yeah, ETC, on Machinima ETC.
What's the other word you're saying?
Machinima.
Machinima?
Yeah.
It's a big one. It's a $10 word.
Okay.
I feel like I'm in Argo. What is it? So, yeah. What is this? Who are you?
We're getting you Machinima out of this ATC. Country,
yeah.
Ari.
Yeah, Machinima ETC is like Machinima was like the big network on YouTube, and
yeah.
they have another entertainment channel called ETC, and they gave us a show, and we go back and forth on and like predicting who's going to win, and this guy's up 3-1 right now.
Yeah,
although I actually tied you 3-3 now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, right, just figure out the numbers.
By who's going to win the week?
Who's going to win the week? Yeah.
Oh, so you got to predict like does Tom Cruise still have?
Well, kind
yeah.
of.
I mean,
you less stability,
yeah.
or whatever they say.
Yeah, and he does when Star it's power. A when it's a franchise, but
not on his own. This last one, Reacher, Jack Reacher.
Jack Reacher did
you
like
see that thing?
No, did it make money?
Some people, not that much. No, not the opening weekend at all. It's, and some yeah. people like the dumb thing. It was one of the worst written films I think I've ever seen.
I talked to somebody who read the book and said it was pretty good.
The book's supposed to be great.
But he's supposed to be 6'9".
Yeah,
It's like it felt like a Brian Bosworth movie. With
whoa, really?
Cruise, yeah. It was like Stone Cold, except they put like...
Cruise was good in it, though. It's just like yeah. you said.
Yeah. I'm amazed, because I mean, I know sometimes that they'll change the script as they go. Like, yeah. oh, we need a better this scene, we need a better this, so it gets fragmented that way. But I'm amazed that it seems like sometimes someone should read a script and be like, hey, guys, is this good at all? Like, what are we doing? Yeah. Shouldn't we just rewrite this
like, you mean
before we get Tom Cruise in here?
God, what are we all even doing here?
You mean every horror film that's made now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That Drag Me to Hell was like so shitty.
Yeah.
It was so like, it was half jokey, half serious.
But even horror
couldn't
movies
decide.
Like, with horror movies, you know that there's an audience for it that likes that stuff.
When you make
that
for
likes
nothing.
Getting scared and they're cheap and
yeah.
and horror like I like watching horror movies, but it's sometimes with action movies, especially what I hate is like when it's Tom Cruise in a movie, because Tom Cruise yeah. throws everything he has into a film. Maybe uh-huh. he's crazy in real life, but he puts everything he has into a movie.
Yeah.
So when he does Mission Impossible 4 and it's awesome, it's great.
Yeah.
But when you just see a guy waste like 6 months of his life doing a crappy movie, you're like, you could have done better than this.
Well, yeah, and they surrounded him with like acting that was just
yeah
terrible.
Oh, this girl that was in Wrath of the Titans, they stuck her in there. I don't know who she is.
Rosamund Pike.
Thank you. She literally. It's like that when you catch your dog like eating trash and he's got that face that like he knows he shouldn't be doing.
Yeah.
This shit. That's her face the entire movie.
Like, what am I doing
Why,
here?
This shouldn't be.
I don't
be
know
doing
what yeah. I'm doing.
There's a 6-week acting class devoted to that dog face.
Yeah. I had acting class once and they were talking about the head teacher came in and she was bragging about how she got all these people prepared for like Step Up 4 or something like that.
Yeah.
And she goes, and all these people, they didn't have any acting ability. And within like a few weeks, we got them all ready. And they were ready to go. And they were awesome. And then I remember, like, I asked. She got really mad at me. Joanne Barron. But I was like, then why do we have to be in here for 2 years?
Yeah. Acting is a craft, and I appreciate that everybody needs to take acting classes and you can hone it through those, but don't you think acting teachers are like the most full of shit people on the face of the planet? Because of their resume is always like, oh, this was Matthew Perry's acting coach.
Right. Uh-huh. Well, they don't know, like, they get some slob like that just off the bus and they're just waiting there, like the guys who have no experience whatsoever, like, oh, I can get this guy.
But that's everything works that way. If you go to a resort in Hawaii, just be like, Leonardo DiCaprio stays here. It's more sellable to those people.
Yeah. It's like when you just start out doing stand-up and you've no credit, and so you say, oh, this guy performed with Dane Cook. And it's like, well, yo, you were on the same show.
He went on an hour
night,
and 45 minutes later than you or earlier.
Yeah,
they do those. But, yeah, people do those, too. When somebody asks me to do their show, their small show.
Mm-hmm. So they say who's performed.
Who else has performed. And if it's, like, regular people, I'll be like, all right, I'll come do it.
Tim Allen took a piss here.
Yeah. I could easily be lying.
Wow. Yeah, I heard him on the radio. He's doing a Laugh Factory spot. That's the closest comedy reference I've had in a while.
I saw Tim Allen once at the store. He came and popped in the main room.
Yeah.
And he did a whole bit about how it's like, don't you hate it? It was too, like, 80s style because it was, like, relating to the crowd, like, asking them for approval of his jokes. But he goes, don't you hate it when you take your car to get fixed and they don't fix it right? Like, and then he started talking about how his Lamborghini or Ferrari didn't get fixed right. And everyone's like, we're not relating to you anymore, man.
In the 80s, man, you had just gotten out of jail and that car was a Chevy and we could relate to that.
Yeah, just change it, bro. Just say car.
I would have loved to have seen that guy on coke, though.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Yeah. Have you ever seen his mugshot? It's before celebrity mugshots were cool to look at. Mm-hmm. His was like in 78 or 79.
Yeah.
And it's great. To tell somebody that, hey, don't worry, 10 years later, you're going to have a monster sitcom.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's rock bottom.
And a movie career. He did a bunch of kids movies.
Good one, Santa Claus.
It was all kids movies, right?
Galaxy Quest was
that
like
was a kid's movie.
Yeah, Galaxy Quest was, I mean, yeah, I don't, like, I think
that was for top 17-year-olds.
You sound like somebody who got burned losing $10 to see that.
I didn't see it, but I was like, the way they build it, I could see people going like, oh, cool, it's a good action movie. Like, no.
Galaxy Quest has got to be a sci-fi film then.
Yeah.
I kind of think if Tim Allen did anything dark.
He did a couple of those but they made no money.
Right.
What? Like, nothing dark that he did. He did that one that had, like, a huge cast. And when you know when you're driving by, like, you see a billboard and it's got, like, 900 people in it.
And he's just, like, sticking out in the back.
Yeah, and you're like, look at all those people in that movie. Like, One Night at McCool's has, like, the greatest cast in the history of time. But it made, like, $4. I don't know if he was in it, but it was one of those kind of movies.
Yeah, there was also sometimes, like light guys will do a dark role to, like, break out.
Yeah.
Like, get Shorty. What was the one? Mm-hmm. Get Pucci.
Get Shorty was
the one with Travolta, right?
No, no, the one with the big purple dinosaur with Norton.
Death to Smoochie.
Death to Smoochie. Yeah.
And they'll underrated have, like, movie, by the way. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, it's pretty good.
Very underrated.
And they'll have other, like, regular, like, guys in it in this darker role.
Yeah.
You know, like, family, and it's like, oh, it's departure.
Well, I mean, that's what Jim Carrey did for a little while too. Like, he was doing all this, you know, the Ace Ventura stuff, and then he jumped to even Cable Guy, which is still comedy,
but Cable Guy,
and then dark, and then the what was the other Darabont one he did,
The Majestic. And 1994 Sunshine rolls around and you're like, hey, the guy
Eternal
from
Sunshine
Splash and the guy from Turner and Hooch is gonna have AIDS,
right?
What's that gonna be like? Tom Hanks is Philadelphia.
And that's how, well, even it's funny though too,
like, goofball until that,
when that just goes into, like, last night at the Golden Globes, Anne Hathaway was talking about, because she won the best supporting actress and she beat out Sally Field, and she said, you know, I was going to quit, and then I realized, you know, cause Sally Field's an inspiration, the fact that she was the flying nun, and then she was the Princess Diaries, whatever, too, that you don't have to be typecasted. I think certain people are, but
when was she going to quit?
She
turned hot.
Never gonna quit.
She was never gonna quit.
Yeah, but she just told
but
everybody.
She's so worried about.
She had
being
a tough time. She didn't book anything for 2 months.
Right.
I remember. And I think Anne Hathaway was Princess Diaries. Is that what they had a bet and see if they could date her, and they turned her hot?
She's the one. Princess Diaries was the Frank Marshall one.
What's the one where Kevin Pollak was the father? And I thought it was Anne Hathaway.
Oh no, you're thinking of the 10 Things I Hate About You, and Larry Miller was the dad, and they were going to try to make Julia Stiles' sister, like, attractive, or, and had Heath Ledger in it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, there was that. No, because then she had the sister, too.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't that.
No,
I think it was Kevin Pollak. And one of the girls was, like, a nerd girl. She was into art and stuff.
Oh, okay.
Somebody out there is listening to this right now, and they're screaming the title into their radio dial.
I call Gary Marshall Frank Marshall.
So yeah.
I'm yelling at myself.
I'm going to look at Kevin Pollak movies and see if I can find it.
But yeah, I mean, did you see Jodie Foster's speech last night that gave her an award?
I didn't see it, but
she started babbling. It was like Mel Gibson might as well have been up there because
I heard my lesbo friends were bitching about her because she was so open about who her family is and everything like that, but she wouldn't be open about.
What was she talking about? What did she win?
They gave her the Cecil B. DeMille Award or whatever. So she went up there and she starts going on. She's teasing like she's going to finally announce that she's coming out.
Yeah.
And then she says, and it's been so long. I'm a little nervous. I've never really done this. So
never really done what?
Been public about coming out. So she's like, I've never really been public. So I'm single. Is what she does.
That's funny.
But then she starts going on about privacy and stuff about her family. Yeah. And then it was like nonsense. It was like someone that was starting to go off.
Oh, really?
It was, it was nonsense.
Like, man, she knew she was going to win too. They told her ahead of time. There was
one
no chance.
Who should have a prepared speech is the one that gets an email.
There was no one else nominated.
Right, like Tarantino, I knew when he again didn't. He always talks nonsense anyway when he's just up there. But he didn't. He legitimately didn't know he was going to win.
Yeah.
So he's like, oh, you know, guys, my friends and to do this. But it's like, but it was still entertaining because it's Tarantino.
But see, just watching the Golden Globes last night, like if you said I could have a ticket to either the Golden Globes or the Oscars, I'd take Golden Globes every time because it's an enclosed like space and it's celebrities who are like the biggest stars in movies are all there getting drunk and eating. Did you see the table that was Downey and Jodie Foster and Mel Gibson?
Yeah.
How bad do you want to be serving that table and just be a
serving
on the
that
wall?
Table? I don't want to be anywhere near serving that table.
You had a table and you had Robert Downey Jr. who like, he was having a grand old time. Yeah. Jodie Foster and Mel Gibson.
Yeah.
And Mel Gibson, every time you see Mel Gibson, his head's turning. So he's got a crazy kind of...
You want to be a server in that? You got sober Downey, sober Gibson, Downey's wife, and Jodie Foster and her kids. Fuck that table.
Gibson sober?
Well, yeah, Gibson's sober. He looks. I mean, he's apparently.
Well, he had to go to public rehab after the first incident, and then I think he had another one. He's like, fine, I'll go for real.
Didn't he look though? Like
she's all that.
Like nobody else. It was like you really felt like these were his real friends because you knew nobody else wanted him there.
Yeah,
and Mel Gibson. Like, oh yeah,
he was sitting in the front row.
He's become a leper.
It's crazy. Fucking Martin Riggs, man. What happened to that guy?
Put Richards with him.
I can't imagine a career free fall like that. Because even Michael Richards like wasn't a huge...
Yeah, he hadn't booked anything. Yeah.
No, he wasn't a huge movie star. He had a great run on TV. One of the best runs of all time on TV. But Mel Gibson was the biggest star in the
It took
the
Mel Gibson
director.
Two times, though. They were almost done with him after he called that fucking cop a kike.
He was talking...
Yeah. And then they're like, Jewish "Oh, you shouldn't," but all right, because he already had some stuff coming out. He had that Mayan movie coming out.
Yep. Yeah. And then he had the rant. What's the one that he did with Brendan Gleeson that came out recently? The one.
The
Gopher.
No, not the Gopher. That was after he went.
Yeah, it's like some On the Edge or something.
Jodie Foster directed that one.
Wasn't like Edge of Darkness or something.
Yeah, it was
like
something
that.
Like that. It was Edge of Darkness. Yeah. But that was like right in the transition. And then he started calling the reporters assholes and going like crazy on them. And like, oh, he's starting to lose his mind. And then
and then it was like, oh, you're done.
No, he was already.
Oh yeah, and the voicemail.
Voicemail was after.
The voicemail, all that stuff. The Jew thing. The Jew thing.
As a Jew, you hate him.
The when he got pulled over after drinking at Moonshadows in Malibu, and he said the Jews are responsible.
Was it Moonshadows?
Was that Moonshadows? Yeah, you drive by it. It's a popular destination.
Yeah, everyone drives drunk from there. They're all white people. They let them.
Yeah,
they're just kind of like guys.
Just don't say anything about the Jews.
But after that, he was done, and he was never the same dude again. But
no,
before
I think that was just one time, and then people were like, and then he cemented himself for the next few things.
I think that
the book smell didn't help,
right? No. But because he had stuff coming out, they're like, we're not going to bury this stuff. We can make money off.
They let it.
So then it came out, and everyone forgot about it. Whereas Michael Richards didn't have anything coming out.
It was a genius foreshadowing move that probably had nothing to do with him. But he wasn't in Apocalypto, so you didn't have to worry about looking at the guy that did it. He was the guy behind the camera.
It's crazy because he's such a good director. His movies are so good the way he makes films. Oh, and it's just like now no one wants to give him anything. His next movie he's got coming out, as sad as this is, is what's the crazy one with Danny Trejo.
Really?
What's it called?
The Biopic about Garbage Man?
No, pretty close. Machete 2.
He's directing Machete 2?
No, he's in Machete 2.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's like the bad guy or something.
Yeah.
Wow.
When you're an actor, you got to save your money because it doesn't matter how famous you are. One slip up.
Yeah, but I'm sure he's made a lot of money, like more than he could spend.
Actually, the price he's probably for that. But the guy, he's given it all his ex-wife and now...
Jeff Daniels's friend who created that show... Remember that show on Comedy Central, the cartoon with all like the Superman and Betty Boop and all of them in a house together?
Yeah.
he refused to pay money to Mel Gibson because it was anti-Semitic. So he wouldn't go see the Maya movie, but he paid for Happy Feet and then snuck in to Apocalypto. Really? Yeah. I don't want him getting the money. The movie was She's All That, by the way.
She's All That.
Yeah. Anne Hathaway's not in that.
Yeah. Rachel Lee Cook
right.
was the hot chick. Right. She was like, oh, she's not hot. She's got glasses on. And it's been a thousand of those movies.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, it turns out the jock was right for dating her because now she's hot.
She forgot what Polo.
There's been a thousand of those movies, yeah. but that's the one that kind of won your heart.
Rachel Lee Cook will not be winning any Oscars anytime soon.
Why not?
What is she, I mean, the last thing she was in was...
Anne Hathaway's getting all the roles now.
Pussycats?
Get Carter, I think.
Really?
Stallone. How great was it seeing Stallone and Schwarzenegger on stage together?
Just those guys doing anything. It's one of those things. I could literally watch those guys like just play tractor chicken, and I'm transfixed.
They were improvising back and forth on the fact that and then Stallone was giving Schwarzenegger shit. You could see Schwarzenegger wanted nothing to do with the shit talking.
Yeah.
You should like read the prompter.
Yeah. Guys. Shit talking about what?
They were talking about the language. They were presenting the foreign language film. So then the joke with Arnold was that. To tell Sly that they both don't speak the English. He starts speaking in his native tongue, and then Stallone's like, what are you doing, guys? He's like, just to show that we both don't know the language. You know, and then Stallone's like, oh, I know it better than you, and going back and forth, and Schwarzenegger points, just read the fucking television.
Schwarzenegger, like, Stallone still seems like a pretty down-to-earth dude, but Schwarzenegger's just kind of going off the rails in terms of, like, he either who? Gets robotic, Schwarzenegger. Oh, he just goes robotic, and he goes into politician mode, where he just has a straight
doing
answer,
it for 6 years,
or else he just gets that weird look, like, he just wants to, like, detach from everything.
Mm-hmm.
The thing with those guys is they're all old and done.
I don't think
the box office doesn't say so.
Ugh, it's all old. Here's when you cash in as a star.
Yeah,
as an entertainer. Once your fan base hits a certain age, people have more money in their 40s and in their 20s.
Yeah.
So if you have a fan base in your 20s and then you hit 40 and so do they, like all these musicians, everyone will go see you in Vegas and pay $150 to go see Run DMC, whatever's left of them. You know what I mean? But they weren't going to pay them that when they were fucking 19.
Right, because they couldn't afford it.
No. Yeah. So everyone cashes in later, and that's what these guys are doing. This is not when they're although they cashed in before too.
If you look at what the Expendables is in terms of
it was
music,
so bad.
Yeah, but
the Expendables was so shitty.
The second one?
No. when somebody ruins it for me, the first one, I'm not going to give them more money.
Why?
It's just like Clash of Titans. Well, we're done.
Well, that's how it goes.
Wait till Green Lantern 2 comes out. Oh, that'll make $100 million.
Way different though. In that point though, way different because if you go to like, did you love the old Arnold Schwarzenegger movie?
Yeah.
All right. So wasn't it fun to see?
No.
They're like old school.
It's not just seeing. I can go rent the old ones. Yeah. They're just there. Illegally download them.
Yeah, but
they're right there.
To see all those guys together in one movie.
To see nine people being surrounding these three guys and like, oh, we're going to shoot them all. And then they end up killing every one of them with these guys like raising their guns to shoot at these guys at 1 centimeter a second. Trying to slow. Oh, you got me. It's like they didn't even look good. You can make it look good with shitty old people.
You can't.
They just didn't do it.
You can't judge the Expendables different than you judge Commando because all that shit happened in Commando.
No, Commando looked better. Yeah, it was better action sequences.
I know what you're saying, though, as far as like you still believe, even though it was like absolutely absurd, you still looked believable that when he's running around cutting off arms and shit, you're like, because it wasn't over CGI'd. I mean,
if you're killing him and stabbing him, and I'm on Ellis's side. Yeah. And I'm like looking at you with a gun in my hand. I don't wait until you're finished killing him before coming at you.
Right.
And that's what they did in The Expendables. Because they're like, well, these guys aren't fast enough to shoot two shots at once.
Here's exactly what The Expendables is the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame concerts when they induct like five different artists.
And they play a montage.
They all get on stage together and they play like the most famous song. That's what it is, and it's cool to see those guys. Is it the best version of Knocking on Heaven's Door? No, but it's all these guys playing it together, and so it looks. It's neat to see one time or three.
You really got to shut your mind off to any sort of like 100%. This is good in any way.
That's what popcorn's for.
So that movie comes out, and was that movie written for them, or was that movie just written? And they're like, hey, let's get these guys all to be in it.
It was all Stallone. He was like, look, it's like a band. You got to release your greatest hits album because again, your demographic's at the age. They can afford
it. But it was just so. And then the blonde guy coming back at the end going, like, okay, you're back on our side, even though you. It's like, what are you doing?
The second one.
What are you guys doing? Make a movie, at least.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing. You really have to look at it.
Cutting themselves in the back. For fucking an hour and 20 minutes.
You know what's weird is that this was what Ari did in the theater. Like, everybody's trying to join the movie, and Ari's like, the blonde guy's not good.
Is that Jewish guy still here? He's all by himself. I'm complaining about Arnold.
Well, now, let me ask you guys a question, because you guys have to do these reviews. Do you ever feel obligated to give positive reviews?
No.
You don't?
No.
They don't put any pressure on you? I don't know. The people who, like, get you the screeners and pay you.
No, because, I mean, the only thing, though,
who pays you? YouTube?
YouTube and movies.com, Fandango.
And they don't care. They just say, give us honest reviews.
Yeah, that's what they want. Because the reason we started doing it is because we're, I mean, if you look at us, we're not like the normal critics. We're just dudes just talking about movies the same way that you do it. And like that's, they like that. You know, movies.com like that and Machinima like that. So, you know, we're honest. We're not going to change our opinion on it. If something sucks,
we've there seems to be a thing with film criticism where I think sometimes people, I was telling him before we started, is that if you see the forest, you miss the forest for the trees, is that people get so into the cinematography and all these big fancy film terms and they forget
how
that you go
movie?
To see a movie. Julie, how was it? Did you get excited? Yeah. Were you expecting something else? It's just, you kind of simplify it, and I think people respond to that with dollars.
Yeah, they do sometimes. They talk in these terms that you're like, what? Although sometimes cinematography, I get, like, have you ever seen House of Flying Daggers?
Oh, yeah.
And things like that where it's like it's colorful, like scenes
like
outside.
Even Life of Pi that just came out.
Really?
Yeah, oh, Life of
Sometimes
Pi.
Sometimes you're like, it's sort of breathtakingly like, wow.
That's it's incredible. And like people who judge movies on cinematography and that stuff, they aren't wrong. Usually they make a point. You go watch a movie, you're like, yeah, I see the point. Yeah. But it's on another level, there's just, it's like you want it, you go to the movies to have fun.
Yeah. My biggest thing with critics a lot of the times, too, is they tell you.
Is get in the gym.
But it's more or less like they're telling you that their opinion is right and you're an asshole. Like, I can't stand Owen Gleiberman
on
Entertainment Weekly. It's like the same. It's every time.
Such a chewy name.
But it's him and Lisa Schwartzbaum, Italian.
When you offend Ari Shaffir with your name, that's not good.
Yeah, but it's just, they are the perfect examples to me. Like, you read, you just feel like they're telling you, if you like that, you're an idiot. If you don't like that, you're an idiot, because I do. And it's just like, that's the.
Oh, that's their style.
More or less, it's how you feel when you read the columns. Like, for me, it's just like, you might not agree with anything I'm saying, but it's your opinion. That's a movie. They're subjective. You know?
Yeah. I like to see movie reviews based on just personal experience, too. It's like, and the chick I was sitting with was just fucking annoying. She kept turning to me. So that was bad. That's like real experience. Yeah. Popcorn was cold.
I think in our Scream 4 review, I said that one of the funniest moments in the film was when the guy next to me farted. Like, he literally was the guy. He just was bored out of his mind, just ripped it. I was like, all right, I'm entertained right now. It's fine.
Now, did you guys saw Wrath of Titans? That was a sequel?
Yeah, it was horrendous.
That was a sequel.
Why would you go to that?
Because we have to.
You have to.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you reviewed the first one.
Yes.
For us.
I reviewed the first one. You weren't doing the before. It was still.
That was back before we really knew what we were doing anything, in terms of running time. Because you and I, like, our review was like 15 minutes. And Ari sends me literally a half hour rant on the Clash of Titans. I'm like, I don't know what to do with this.
I was like, I don't know. Edit it down
and
or
then
something.
Christian's like, hey, we got to have Ari back for Wrath of the Titans. I'm like, yeah, we got to have Ari back. Right, who's going to edit it?
I figured, you know, use whatever you want.
But I, think I just kept review, going. By the way, for Jackass, I think is now almost at 200,000
views. 200,000
views
for my review of Jackass.
That's right. If you go to our YouTube channel, Schmoes Know, and you look at the most popular videos, you
it's no
see,
longer the most popular one, is it?
I think it might be. It might be close to it.
Not who only else? Will you see Ari Shaffir, you'll see Ari Shaffir get bitch slapped by Sam Tripoli.
You're battling sex in the movies.
Yeah,
I'm battling sex.
Your video, the second video, sex in the movies.
Oh, there's no way I can beat that.
Yeah. Sex in the movies is doing pretty good right now.
Any YouTube clip that shows a girl going like this with a shirt, like about to take it off, or go, this girl takes it off. It's everyone clicks for that fucking holy grail of YouTube.
Yeah, no, we had a hot actress. Nudity. We had a hot actress on the podcast talking about sex in movies, and we took like 6 minutes and put it on YouTube, and it's got like 180,000 views now or something.
Oh, really?
That's why reviews are so popular. Every review, it says like Ghost Rider 2, naked famous chicks. Yeah.
Really?
And then
Wow. Clash of Titans, I was so bad that I walked out of. And I did the rest of the review based on what I thought it's might bad. Happen. Just
did you
guessing.
Like the original?
Yeah. Now, I watched it as a little kid.
Of course. But it's one of those things that, like Flash Gordon, to me, it's just like near and dear because you related to it as a kid and you were brought into that fantasy land.
Yeah.
And it's all about CGI. It's all about bullshit now.
Yeah. Well, here's what I'm going through now in terms of movie watching. I don't know if I was just enjoying stuff because I was a kid, and now I'm jaded and not enjoying it as much because I don't enjoy movies as much as I did.
Right.
Or is it because of this generalization of media in America where it's like you got to make sure as many people as possible can get into this.
Yeah.
And so they just make it not like – they don't make it outstanding in one direction or the other.
I think it's a little bit of both.
Yeah, there's so many movies that are made now that you do get a lot of those movies. Like when you see we all saw Transformers together.
Yeah,
actually,
the first
remember
one.
We
and then I was done with it. I wasn't going to see two or three.
Light. It was like a row of like 10 comics. We're all like, hey, let's enjoy our childhood again. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the movie ends, and we're like, what the fuck was that? But there's so many movies that get made that sometimes they fall through the cracks, and you go more to the independent side, and you really can get a good story and something that is just so good, and there's no flaws in it. But I like watching movies that I saw as a kid that I liked, even if they're bad. Like, I don't like Flash Gordon's. I missed
it as a kid.
You
didn't watch it as a kid, though.
But through the prism, I think you're allowed to do that, you know?
Also, there's certain things that are made for kids. So it's like you never could enjoy it as an adult because you're like, this is for children.
Some of those are the best movies, though. Like, those Pixar movies besides Brave.
Wreck-It Ralph was fantastic.
I heard that was good. I haven't seen it yet. I mean, but obviously Up was great. I mean, there's some movies that you can appreciate at an adult level.
You can weep as an adult watching the first 10 minutes of
that movie. That's what those good ones do now. They make it to where you can get little inside jokes that kids won't get when you're there, too, but still they put together good stories. Mm-hmm. It's the really, like, Ice Age 4, holy shit, unwatchable. Torture.
I mean, really?
Oh, prison torture. Yeah. It's just like,
is that the one where they're on? Why are they still making those just for money now?
Yeah.
Continental
and
Drift.
And that's going to your point as far as like because.
They're all on ice boats. Is that the deal? Yeah. I saw a couple minutes of that on TV or something.
It's horrendous. I mean, it's so bad. And Wanda Sykes doing her shtick with. And who else is in there?
I've John blocked Lizama. It.
Can I just be the one to say that Wanda Sykes hasn't been funny in about 10 years?
You can be the one to say it. Yeah.
It's like she hasn't done shit. All she does is occasionally on Curb Your Enthusiasm, she plays a good foil to Larry David. And not every time. Right. Usually it's like, all right, take it down a notch. Right away, you're yelling.
She really had something going for a while. And lately when I've seen her, she's been like the modern version of Jack A from 227.
Yeah.
Where it's just I'm just going to do this accent.
Yeah, it.
And it's like, really? That's all you got?
That's
you got
my
more.
Fear. If everyone becomes famous, they start doing a caricature of what they think people like about them.
Well,
and she thinks it's her voice.
Yeah.
Well, same thing happened to Sam Kinison, where you start doing yelling comedy. Where it's like, the yelling was on top of what you were saying.
Heavy metal comedy, and it's like, we don't want to see all these chicks in chains.
But that's also people in
their
power chords. Just do stand-up.
That's also people in their ear, though, too. You know,
I'm sure on Yes Manning Them Is Death.
Right. Like, do more of that. Do more. They love it. They love it. They're eating it
up. Make a lot of money.
Yeah.
And you just don't know anymore. I saw her come out to, I think, the 10 o'clock Jay Leno show, whatever they're calling that, to the Tonight Show.
Oh, right, when they did
the earlier Tonight Show.
Yeah.
And she came out with this shopping cart, because they have like these sliding doors that come out, that open, and she came out with the shopping cart and pushed it out there. And he's like, what is that? And he's all into it. He's like, what is that? What are you doing?
Right.
And she's like, because it's so big. It's like a it's like a store. It's like a shopping store. And he's like, oh. Oh, okay. So what else? What have you been in? It was just like awkwardly bad.
Yeah. At least there's mercy.
Like Ice Age 4.
At least they mercy rule late night TV when it's back, because each show's only an hour. Morning TV. And thank God I usually sleep through it. Like Good Morning America. Have you ever been awake on the road and you see what the hell coming
to? Oh, yeah. I'll see it at radio stations while I'm waiting
so
to go on.
Bad.
It's so bad. You know why? It's for women.
Yeah.
It's for 39-year-old women.
Just 39.
The View.
That range.
The View is for women. The one that comes on after it, the women or whatever, with like the B team from The View, that's just for torture.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Oh, it's bad.
It's tough.
Oh, it's so bad. Yeah. And just Good Morning America, it never starts. It never ends. If you hear somebody you like is like, if Tiger Woods is going to be on Good Morning America, you still have to watch Good Morning America for four hours.
Right.
They never tell you when it is.
Yeah.
It's torture.
Can you believe this Lance Armstrong thing? It's so dumb.
And he didn't even. I know. I saw your tweet on it. It was great.
So like,
what's your take on it?
It's like, well, okay, so you did it.
It's right.
You lied for fucking 10 years.
Yeah.
You don't have to go and seek more publicity for this now.
Yeah.
Just put out a press release and go away. It's okay. I don't even care about steroids. I get that there's benefits to it. I understand those things.
Right.
Putting more blood in your system. I don't know if it's not dangerous. It's fine.
Why do you keep? Edging it out and saying.
The story today, AP News exclusive, Lance Armstrong is sorry to the Livestrong Foundation.
But he didn't admit it, though,
right? Sorry? Yeah. That's an exclusive?
Right.
Of course he's sorry. What are you talking about?
Yeah. I think that in the major sports that influence kids, then steroids should be illegal. Like football, basketball, baseball, I think they should be outlawed because they have too big of an influence. But something like cycling, do whatever the hell you want to do. Plus, back when Lance won all those Tour de France's, everyone literally... Everyone was doping, and he was still that good.
I want to see dudes the size of the Incredible Hulk bicycling, though. That would make it a much more
massive
sport.
Dudes, roid raging if they cut each other
fight
off.
Each other. Yeah.
Much cycling, but you're a huge baseball fan. And so for baseball, do you want to see those guys get, you know, all
my feeling
jacked?
My feeling with roids is this. I'll take more hormones because also, like, let them work out. They can definitely work out better than they used to in Babe Ruth days.
Yeah.
Babe Ruth's workout was a hoagie and a fucking beer.
Yeah.
But, here's the only thing I think about steroids. If it's dangerous to your body, and because some people are doing, other people feel obligated to do something dangerous to their bodies.
I gotta catch up.
But if it's not dangerous to your body, then fucking by all means, go for it.
Yeah, but the influence is too powerful. Like so many kids are just going to OD on that stuff because they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, well, professional athletes do too. They take way too much and they get cancer. And
it's more and more. But yeah, I think the same thing. Like when you have like Barry Bonds where they were doing stuff too.
Yeah.
That's why sports movies are better than sports, because the narrative. They're never gonna like do blood doping for Rudy. You know, it's like, did he do steroids? Maybe he did in real life. Right. He missed the guy tackling him in real life, but in the movie, he gets the sack at the end.
I read this report about college athletics, and there's so much steroids there, but they only test for like weed. So that way they can say, hey, we caught these people. We're doing tests all the time. Right, but they are not like random with steroids tests.
You
they
could
want
be the Elliot Ness of college athletics, Ari. You could go in there.
Maybe.
Speaking of Elliot Ness, did you see his?
That was a good movie. Wait, who's Elliot Ness?
Kevin Costner.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay. I thought it was.
Apologies to the Ness relatives who actually your forefather was a great
what was Kevin Costner
law enforcer.
Who's Elliot Ness?
No, what was he in recently that he was up there giving a speech?
He was in the Hatfield and McCoys. He went for a miniseries.
Oh, that's cool.
And he's gonna be
it looked like it was
going to
be a good miniseries.
He's playing Superman's Earth Dad.
And I'm super excited about that, by the way.
Yeah. Who's going to be Superman? Some new guy?
Henry Cavill, who was he was actually in that movie.
Passion of the Christ.
No, that's
Jim Caviezel. Yeah.
Henry Cavill was in one movie, the Count of Monte Cristo back in the day, but he was also in The Tudors. He was in for a while, the TV
show. I saw The Count of Monte Cristo on a date.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
Yeah, at the place next to where the old knitting factory used to be here.
Oh, yeah.
Now it's like a Smart and Easy or something.
So the Count of Monte Cristo, is that just like you're bored and you just, it's not really a date movie.
It was a good movie, though.
No, it's this girl, Tanya. No, she just wanted to go see a movie. Also, it was like, we were in acting class together, I think, at the time, or maybe right before. So it was like, I don't know.
Well, you got to see the future Superman, who's British.
Wait. I'd rather them take like unknown people or semi-unknown people for those major like superhero things.
Cool. Me too.
I don't want to watch this actor in it. I want to watch some like.
Right. Well, now that guy will always be Superman to you.
That's fine.
Right? That's fine. But, No. The thing the tone is a lot more because Christopher Nolan's producing this one.
Oh.
So Christopher Nolan's producing it, and you have Zack Snyder who did.
He's done with Batman now.
He's done with Batman. Batman's done. So it's like you have, although he's doing some new time travel movie that was just announced, by the way. I don't know if I.
Cool.
But anyway, so he's producing it as Zack Snyder, who directed 300.
Oh, he's producing it?
He's producing it. No. But he's pretty hands on from what they say. If you look at the trailer, you can tell he's got his hands all over it because it's a more kind of realistic, gritty tone for Superman.
And, oh really?
Yeah, and it doesn't. Zack Snyder usually is very like more style over substance, and this looks the opposite. This looks more.
That's why I always loved about Batman and Spider-Man because they had normal people problems, whereas most superheroes didn't have normal people problems.
That was always my knock on Superman too. It's like the guy. There's one element that can defeat the guy. Just get rid of that element. But this one, it looks pretty.
Is Kryptonite a real thing?
No, Ella says yes.
No, Kryptonite is not a real thing.
You say yes.
No, I say it's not a real thing.
Oh, I thought you said you thought it was.
No, it's not. In Schmoville it is, but it's not in...
Where did Kryptonite come from? When Krypton blew up?
Krypton blew up, yeah.
It came, so how can it hurt him then?
Because it was just because... You know,
it was on that building.
It just makes it as far as his like more... He's not the... I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
It's not like he has a peanut allergy to it where he dies.
No, it kills him. If you lock him in a room with him over for like...
Kryptonite will kill him?
Yeah, eventually. Wears him down like a...
Can he like chop up a little bit and snort it and get like a good buzz? Or does it just...
Maybe.
That's what happens in the more realistic one.
He goes clubbing in Vegas.
No, but...
I like the comic books idea of those where these guys have all become older.
Yeah.
They're like 50, 55. They're
going to do that with Clint Eastwood for Batman.
That'd be really cool.
Do that.
And see if with their bodies failing them, how they can like...
Yeah.
Well, the comic book world is in upheaval too because they killed Spider-Man.
Did you hear who took over
Spider-Man? Killed Spider-Man?
Listen to this, Ari. They killed Spider-Man, right?
When?
Spider-Man gets in a big fight with Dr. Octopus.
Yeah. This is awful.
Yeah, Peter Parker as Spider-Man gets in a big fight with Dr. Octopus. Doc Ock kills him, and then Doc Ock realizes the good that Spider-Man was doing. So Doc Ock is the new... Spider-Man.
So stupid.
Wow, but he doesn't have spider senses.
No, and he's a dick.
And he can't stick to
and
walls.
He's a giant eight-armed asshole.
So he's an eight-armed Spider-Man?
But you know what they do, though?
I don't know if he's an eight-armed Spider-Man.
They do this just to get the big buzz and people talking about it now. They're ruining it. Spider-Man comic. Look at when Superman died. It was all over the place.
When Bane broke Batman's back, everybody bought that comic book.
Yeah.
Some people twice. I bought one to read.
I liked it a lot more than he did.
I loved when the main superhero was spent 45 minutes of the movie in a hole, not dressed as a superhero at all.
I liked it, though.
That was an amazing part of Batman.
But that was the whole point.
Hey, let's watch somebody in a hole.
No. That's there's so many things that are wrong with that movie. That's not one of them.
It is.
No way. It's not one of them because that's the whole
point. Oh, he's going to try to get out of the hole? Oh, we didn't get it.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? I know he's going to get out eventually. I have no part of me thought he wasn't going to get out.
Yeah.
When he finally gets out, I was like, all right already.
If you want to argue to me that why the hell is Bane flying all the way over... the other side of the country just to taunt him and then go back, that's fine. But the fact that he's sitting in the hole, that's the whole thing.
That's the journey, but the fact that he's sitting in the hole for, a couple months and he does a few push-ups and his broken back heels.
Yeah.
And he gets out of that, and he gets out of the hole, and then he just finds a shower somewhere at a truck stop, and then he looks like perfect GQ.
And you're telling me that fucking Batman with a rope attached to him can't jump as far as some little kid with no rope attached to him?
Well, he did it without. He did it when. That's why he took the fucking rope off.
But that's the point, that he can't jump further. Fucking Batman can't outjump a fucking 9-year-old girl.
He's depressed.
You know what's great is that Ari actually, when he gets mad, he does the Christian Bale Batman voice. Yeah.
You're telling me. That this guy can't outjump him with a little rope attached. The rope isn't that heavy. That's a 9-year-old girl. There's no way she can outjump him.
Well,
What was disappointing about it is that it wasn't a terrible movie in its own right, but when you have to follow Batman Begins, which was... I said it wasn't a terrible movie, but Batman Begins was pretty perfect.
That's the
Dark
problem.
Knight was pretty perfect, and this one... It
that's
just
the problem sometimes I have, too, with movies, where it's something that'll be really good, but just not quite as good as I was expecting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
like Django.
But you have
you didn't love Django?
But you have to grade movies like that, though, because if you go in with all these huge expectations, if you're let down a little bit, then you should be able to vent that.
Yeah.
Because it's a good movie.
This is what I said about Django Unchained, where people are like, you shouldn't go see it. I'm like, no, it's worth the fucking $16 or whatever it is.
Absolutely.
Right. But it's just not as good as the other movies.
So you liked Inglourious Basterds better?
Fuck yeah.
I thought Django was a little under Inglourious Basterds.
Here's why. Those Zoom cuts that he does, where his character faces the camera and it cuts, it shoots right in. I'm done with that. He's done it already too many times.
And the Australian accent turned you off.
On who?
With Tarantino.
No, that's okay. I don't mind him at all. And I kind of like the fact that everyone said nigger so much except him, who only said blackie.
How much does that guy love making white people drop N-bombs?
Yeah.
It's like it's his hobby.
And then he wouldn't do it. I love that. When good directors put themselves in movies, there's a reason they're putting themselves in a movie as opposed to just like when in Mean Streets.
Scorsese.
Yeah.
Scorsese used to do it.
Taxi Driver.
Yeah, and Scorsese drops N-bombs all over the place.
And he was in the back. Right. And he was saying how in Mean Streets, Scorsese is the one who shot what's his name? Where he's like, this character's so out of control, only the director of the movie could kill this character off.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's the kind of thing he's saying.
Right.
Yeah. But Scorsese fit in those movies, I think, better than Tarantino did in Django. Yeah. Like, if you're going to do that, just be Hitchcock and just kind of walk into a house or something.
The only time Tarantino really fit in the movie was Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, and in that movie was great, too, because he was, that was shot, I remember studying that movie in college.
Yeah.
That movie shot where they're arguing about where it's supposed to what's supposed to do with this thing.
Yeah.
And Tarantino is shot through a window, like through the windshield or through I forget the side window. Mm-hmm. So like he's not even fully in it.
Yeah.
He can just sort of like he also as a director can't stop these pulp, you know, these timeless stories from being told. He can only sort of help guide them.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think
that's deep. I gotta see that again. That's cool.
There's a reason good directors put themselves in movies.
Yeah.
That I am the director in this. Yeah. You know, think about it in those terms.
Well, then you can also throw in the Shyamalan when he threw himself into everything. I think sometimes they get a little.
He's not that great.
No, sometimes they get carried away with themselves, and they get like you build up like Shyamalan. They built him up so much; it's calling the next Spielberg. And then he gives himself that huge part in Signs, and then he's got a big part in.
But I think Shyamalan was like, look, they're not going to find another Indian dude in Pennsylvania, so I'm pretty much the guy.
Yeah, Life of Pi and Slumdog Millionaire threw that off.
Yeah, well, you know,
wait, why did he have to be in Signs? It could find. Why did he have to be Indian?
I didn't. That's what he is.
Yeah. Swing away.
Yeah.
That was it. I was thinking about that movie recently. It was an interesting take on God and stuff. It was pretty interesting.
I love
you watch it the first time and you go, what am I doing here? And then the second time, it really...
Well, the first time I saw it, it hit me.
He does the Hitchcock thing where he'll pull you in based on fear or tension, but he's really trying to make a movie about something else.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, even like exactly
belief
like that,
in God or male female relations.
Yeah,
whatever
it's not an alien movie, but the aliens in that movie they scare the shit out of me in a couple of those scenes. And Mel Gibson is just, that's Mel Gibson, man. That's why Mel Gibson was on that perch that he fell very hard from.
But that's what Shyamalan did so well for those first three movies. Like exactly what you said. But then he just felt. Then he took everything. He took everything people were saying about him, and then just had to do everything with the twist. This is the last Airbender.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. And the last Airbender was horrendous, by the way.
Even that was when a kids' movie, right?
Kind of. He was going to.
It
do
shouldn't
like
be seen by anybody.
No, he was trying to do like a Star Wars fantasy kind of mix, and he it was funny because Steve Simone reviewed that with us, and he said the guy next to him was snoring, and he was jealous. That's how
Steve Simone. That was a long
was
movie.
Laughing at the village during the movie, laughing out loud.
Yeah, and you know now
I hate the village. That movie just bugs me.
It's terrible
so much. It was such a cock tease.
Oh, it's the whole everything he did after Signs, because then you look like then they start putting his name on an M. Shyamalan film. People when they did that for I forget with the devil when he produced it started booing
at
and they start booing because he's so bad
yeah.
But now he's got that movie in After Earth coming out His name is nowhere to be seen on the
film. Oh, really?
No. Like, After Earth is Will Smith and his son, and it's like they, you know, Earth, bad shit happened to Earth, so they had to go to a new planet to try to find a thing. And but you watch it, you're like, this movie looks awesome, and I had no idea Shyamalan was doing it.
Yeah,
no idea.
The only thing though is that I'm predicting the twist already. It's Earth. I'm guaranteeing.
Oh, they're back on Earth.
I bet you that it's
it's like a Planet of the Apes kind of thing.
I say it's Earth. Like they
blew it up.
I think they start evolution. That's my guess.
Yeah.
So
here's my problem with Django, and I'll tell you, and it's going to ruin your appreciation of it a little bit. Inglourious Basterds, there are two amazing scenes for tension. The first scene, the opening scene, which will be like an acting class scene forever. Yeah.
Give him the Oscar right after that scene.
Yeah, and that other guy. Like, where is he? How come there's no award for that dude?
I know, that guy was great.
For like 10 minutes or less in a movie.
He just win an award for shitting.
Yeah, that guy was amazing. Yeah.
They should have an award for best guy to play off of.
Yeah.
Monsieur, whatever.
It was just so great. Limited amount of dialogue. Yeah. Anyway, but then when he finds a grown-up Michelle, what's her name?
I forget her name. It's a
blonde. Au revoir. Miriam?
Yeah.
When he finds a grown-up her and he's pouring her milk into a glass, and she doesn't know if he knows it's her or not, and he's so scared, and the milk is like, oh, no, she must know. He's tormenting me and torturing me. The tension in that, the equivalent scene in that in Django Unchained was when his girlfriend, his wife, the slave girl, comes in to serve them all, and he's got to pretend like he doesn't know it's her.
Right.
And then somebody comes up and he goes and touches his gun, like, oh, am I going to shoot everybody? Because they're going to know. There was no near the tension.
I see what you're saying.
It was like, what gun? You're not taking your gun out. Stop it.
Yeah, no, I see what you're saying. No, but with Tarantino,
it just didn't grab me at all.
But the tones were so different. Like, you could say the same thing about Kill Bill. Kill Bill didn't have those type of scenes, too, because the tone was such a different movie. Like, if you look what he did in Django.
Bill had some interesting scenes. When she talks to him at the end.
Yeah, but it's not that same type of scene you were talking about. They have really good scenes.
But that was the equivalent scene, that tension of like, what's he going to do here?
What about the beginning
like,
with Christoph Waltz when he gets Django right off the bat. That scene with those dialogue.
Yeah, that was cool. That was
a great scene. And then when he's talking to the sheriff and he's like, you know, go get the marshal.
Yeah, they were cool, but they weren't.
But that movie as a whole, it wanted to err more on the side of comedy than Inglourious Basterds is. Like that scene with the lynch mob was hilarious, and that would not have been in place in Inglourious Basterds. That would have felt out of place.
And
so
you were taking elements of blaxploitation and 70s film and spaghetti
westerns. He's done that already a couple times.
Not with spaghetti westerns.
I'm sorry he didn't kill Hitler in Django Unchained, Ari. I apologize.
He did spaghetti westerns and Kill Bill. He covered it already,
but not mixed with blaxploitation together.
Yeah, I guess not. It's just like
he's got to do something new now. Is basically what.
Yeah, the grindhouse shit. It's done. It's done. Like the shitty special effects for blood and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I get it, but you've done it already.
I think he said he wants to do a gangster film next.
More homages to that shitty time
Tarantino
in cinema.
Tarantino doing a gangster film,
like old school.
That'd be
like
cool.
Period piece gangster film.
Yeah.
Be a lot better than Gangster Squad.
Ugh.
What movie won the Golden Globes last night?
For Beth, they split it off into different. You know, they do the musical comedy and they do
why musical and comedy.
Okay, who knows? Back, I think when they created it back in the day, there were a lot more musicals.
Wow,
that's probably why they just kept it.
And it's a night.
So Les Miserables won the musical.
That one best. Yeah. That one best.
How do you pronounce that? By the way, can we have a definitive?
Les Miserables.
You say the B. I thought you always let the B up, but everybody
you say the B
night,
and you don't say the LS.
Everybody last night was dropping the B. Everybody, I say Les Miserables, and I thought I was doing it right. Everybody last night was like, Les Miserables.
Les Miserables.
The people were dropping hard Bs last night.
Hoggle?
Saying that movie.
I think somebody would know.
Yeah.
Tell them all. Like, by the way, guys, you're going to say this word.
That's Golden Globes. Everyone's drunk. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
I like that they do that because the Oscars doesn't have a comedy category, and they never consider comedies in their real categories, so nice to see.
No, they don't. But they should do a comedy section.
Yeah.
Because there's certain comedy movies that are like, they should get awards.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do awards matter at all?
I think yes, they do in certain regard. I mean, to us, like to regular people,
that's a good question. Well, they do matter to regular people.
Anyway.
If you're just living in a normal suburb and you go see a movie and it says Oscar winner this, Oscar winner this, directed by Academy Award winner this, you want
to
see the movie.
It adds something to it. And I also think some people bullshit and they go, "Oh, Oscars don't mean shit," but it does add that certain element to it. But it also, what it does though, it helps. I mean, career wise for actors, it definitely helps.
Yeah.
So you get more jobs. It ups your
for that.
Price.
But it's like for the art of it, I don't know.
Here's when I lost it with Oscars.
Is with that year that Beautiful Mind won.
Yeah,
and I remember seeing. I saw it on the front patio of the comedy store.
Yeah,
the awards. And A Beautiful Mind was that year too, and it didn't win. And I was just like, not A Beautiful Mind, I'm sorry, In the Bedroom.
oh. was that year also and did not win.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, you Beautiful Mind was sort of shitty.
You didn't like Beautiful Mind?
Well, the big award he got at the end, he won before he even went crazy. That's all. None of the whole movie mattered to him getting this glorious thing at the end.
Right.
Yeah.
And people are like, well, he had to like get it under control for the award show. I'm like, really? So that was the big overcoming. But they played the music and they had everyone standing and clapping. Mm-hmm. So, of course, I'm crying. But I'm like, I'm not invested in this in any way. It's just movie tricks.
Yeah. So you think just after you think about it, it's...
No, while I was watching the movie, I'm like, this is stupid. But I was crying anyway.
Oh, okay.
I remember seeing the end of that movie.
They should have won the Oscar.
Taking my fucking drink, slamming it down, and then going out to play video games as soon as the first credit rolled.
That was it.
I'm like, this is fucking shitty. And Beautiful Mind was a great movie. Not Beautiful Mind. In the Bedroom was a great movie.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, it wasn't as big a budget, so they can't win. And so they're like, well, then what's the award for?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but the award itself still matters. Like, the politicizing is something
you can
pitch
about. But the award is for, like, best high-budget film in this category. Generally, they don't like to award small movies.
No, look at this, though, because this is the one that kind of pissed me off was when Shakespeare in Love, which is a smaller movie, beat Saving Private Ryan, which is horseshit, but it's still a smaller movie beating a big budget movie.
So. But look at Pulp Fiction.
And the Hurt Locker beat Avatar.
Forrest
right?
Gump.
Well, so Shawshank also lost that year, too.
Did the Hurt Locker beat Avatar?
No. Yes.
Yeah.
Hurt Locker.
Yeah. Beat Avatar. Occasionally it does, but I think the basic premise of the Academy is that, like, look, we do like the bigger budget movies that are emotionally affecting. And every so often, we're going to give it to a small movie just
every
to
so
keep
often.
People on their toes.
It's just like when they decide we're going to give it to a black person, too.
Absolutely.
Where it's like,
absolutely.
Give it to one when they deserve it, not when you fucking makeup calls. They're always doing makeup calls on people.
Yeah. Denzel deserved it. We were just talking about that with either Malcolm X or Hurricane.
Not Training Day.
Not Training Day.
He wasn't even a lead actor in that.
No.
He was supporting.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, but this year, the Oscars, I think, normally they get it wrong a lot, but this year they really got it wrong. They left a lot. Leonardo DiCaprio didn't get nominated.
Oh, really? He was great in Django Unchained.
Ben Affleck didn't get
nominated. He was one of the best parts.
Ben Affleck just won.
Yeah.
I liked Samuel L. Jackson better than I liked DiCaprio.
Samuel Jackson
DiCaprio
was pretty
was
good.
Great, but
Samuel Jackson was doing the father from the Freemans, whatever it's called, for Boondocks.
Oh, yeah, I've never seen that.
It's a comic strip also. Yeah. He's just doing the impression of the father. It's like, whoa, the granddad.
Yeah. Dude, that guy was so... That character, though, Steven, was pretty despicable.
It's so amazing.
Yeah.
Fucking...
But DiCaprio was awesome. I mean,
He was awesome, but I just... I'm not going to say he got snubbed.
All right, well,
I think John Hawks, the lead in the Sessions... got snubbed, and I would have put him in over Bradley Cooper. Bradley Cooper was great playing...
Over Bradley Cooper?
Over Bradley Cooper,
Okay.
John Hawks was great. Like, so was Bradley Cooper, but... Yeah.
So don't they have 10 nominees now?
For Best Picture.
Oh,
no, it doesn't work like that, though, for Best Picture. They do it with, like, how many people vote, and if it splits up into... you know, certain amount. So it could be 9, it could be 10, it could be 15, depending on how the votes. But I think there's what, 9 this year?
There's 9 this year. And then here's a good question for Ari, is that when you came on our podcast, due to scheduling error, we had Ari do our Oscar podcast.
Yeah.
And Ari had seen two movies total that year.
Yeah.
So I want to go through the Best Picture nominees and see how many Ari Shaffir has seen. Okay.
I think it's going to be more. How many do you think out of total?
My over-under is 3.
I'm going to push.
Okay, so we think Ari has seen 3 of these 9 movies, which would be, I'm already nervous. Already too high.
Nine.
I think Vegas set that line just to...
I think he's seen more movies this year. I think there's been more women.
A couple,
yeah. Okay, Amour.
Nope.
Okay, that's fine. That's one I
wouldn't have guessed
that. What Amour is basically, you know the first 10 minutes of Up?
Uh-huh.
It's that for 2 hours.
For the whole movie, okay.
In subtitles.
Yeah. Argo.
Saw that.
Dang. Okay.
I like that. Now, here's the deal.
Yeah.
Because of my feelings about movies being shitty now, I see a movie like Argo, and I'm like, finally, it's just a good movie.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what's missing. Just like, of course, it should be good from start to finish.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to be groundbreaking or anything. Just make it good from start to finish. And almost all of them are missing that.
But I think
where you're like, what?
I think it depends on when you see movies, though, too, man. Like, again, like they schedule these things out. Like this year for movies was pretty good. Like, from about the end of October until December, a lot of good movies.
Why would it matter when I see a movie?
Because the reason that's when the studios are like, January, you go to see a movie now, you're going to hate everything about life. January movies are horrendous.
Mm-hmm.
They're so bad. Like, it's the toilet bowl of the season. They structure these things out. In the summertime, you'll have those grievances about a lot of stuff with the big budget stuff, and it's the summer action film. There's not that much content.
The summer movie season is like a home run hitter. It'll hit a few out of the park, and it'll strike out a lot.
Yeah.
And then when you get around...
Good action movies, though.
Yeah,
or no.
Of course.
Yeah. It's supposed to be good action movies. You just have action
movies.
And
you might get one. Yeah. You'll go 1 out of 4, and you'll be like, well, that one was really good, but the other 3, disappointing. But as where you get to October until like December, that's when they're making
that's
the Oscar
award show movies.
That's when you're going to get the good movies.
I'm looking at all these movies that are nominated for Best Picture. None of them came out before September. Argo is the first one.
Because they also want it to be
out
on people's minds, right?
Of course.
If you release it in January, they're like, well,
that's why they gear it towards us, because everybody votes for the Academy is like 80 years old. So right. They don't have the best memory.
It's a push for your movie. Like, if it wins while it's still out, you get another 2 weeks of fucking high movies.
Look at Zero Dark 30 right now. You know, that movie came out in limited release in December. It's nominated all over the board.
Hurt Locker was like that last year.
Yeah.
It's like when the Giants go to the playoffs. You got to be playing hot at the right time.
Okay. So what was the first movie you saw?
Argo.
You got Argo.
Which won, by the way, last night at Golden Globes.
Best Picture?
Yeah.
And Best Director for Ben Affleck.
And Affleck's not even nominated, if you're honest.
Okay. Number three, I don't think Ari has seen Beasts of the Southern Wild.
No.
Okay.
I've not seen that. Django Unchained.
Right, saw it.
Two.
It'd be great if Ari said he hadn't seen Django Unchained.
I know.
On that rant, I was like, I've not seen it.
That's two.
Les Miserables.
Also, here's the problem also. His big moment where he starts thinking about the guy getting eaten up by dogs, it seemed forced. It was like, oh, you have to show this, because you didn't really show any emotion on him, so you have to show a flashback in order to thinking about it.
That was a little
jarring.
Just like the same way, like, Miriam never reached for a fucking knife to kill Christoph Waltz in whatever.
Yeah.
But Jamie Foxx, who I'm just not gripped by, he had to reach for that gun to show the tension.
Yeah.
Instead of just letting it see it on his face or something.
You know what's funny about Jamie Foxx? Like, every time I hear
that was bad casting.
Well,
yeah.
Every time I hear he's originally.
No, I liked him too,
but I think it was supposed to be Idris Elba from what I hear, and this was Will Smith also at one point. But anyway, Jamie Foxx for me, every time I hear he's going to be in a movie, I always do the same thing. I go, oh, come on. But every time I watch him in the movie, I wind up liking his performance.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's something about the guy. I don't know what it is. But anyway, what's next?
All right, so then Les Miserables.
No.
Okay. Did not see Les Miserables.
That's what. You guys saw it?
Yes.
I gave out musicals. I already gave it up on them, and then me and Aaron Cato went to see Chicago.
And you're like,
because he was like, I heard this is about normal themes. It's actually, you know, they don't just sing for the sake of singing. They sing in plot, you know, so it helps advance the plot. So it, like, yeah, it was a musical.
Well, so does Les Miserables, but it takes so much. When you're singing to advance the plot, it takes so much longer to advance said plot, and it just wore me after a while.
Yeah, no, musicals are dumb. They're not for us. They're not for us. Who's singing? Who's singing? Unless Chicago was okay, because it was a movie at the making of a musical, so that they could sing based on what it's we're doing in the plot. Yeah, it's just all of them are dumb.
I liked Rock of Ages better than Les Miserables.
Stop. I like
Lincoln.
Did not see Lincoln. I heard it was a movie about the passing of a bill, and it was just really boring.
It was how to pass the 13th Amendment.
I don't think it was. Yes, your favorite.
One of your favorite. It was one of my favorite. I loved it.
Here's my problem with great acting.
Yeah.
When they review great acting.
Yeah.
It can't replace, it's like impressions in comedy. It can't replace a good fucking, you gotta have some action. You gotta have some plot development. So The Master and Lincoln, I didn't see Lincoln, but I did see The Master.
Yeah.
It was like, this is boring as fuck. I don't know what's going on. I completely believe these guys, but I don't care about what's going on.
And I agree with you on Master, because I felt the same way. I think as a film, it's beautiful. It looks great.
It's speaking gibberish.
After a while, I know that both Philip Seymour Hoffman and Joaquin are killing it right now.
Lincoln,
I cared for the whole thing because I was actually I was engaged with the way that it was getting put together and the process. And I knew beforehand that it was about the passing of the bill.
Yeah, the genius of Lincoln is that it doesn't throw how good Daniel Day-Lewis's impression of Abraham Lincoln is in your face.
Yeah.
It's a more reserved kind of thing, so you don't even notice. Like, you see how good Tommy Lee Jones is and how good Sally Field is. You almost forget that you're watching an actor play Lincoln.
Oh, right.
That's why I said it's like the Tim Duncan. Like, it almost goes unappreciated watching it, how
quiet
great
points.
He is.
Yeah, he also won.
Tim Duncan with
Tim
best
Duncan won
post-up moves.
Tim Duncan won last night. The
most underrated post-up moves.
Silver Linings Playbook.
No, I want to see that one, though.
You, any comic,
Brody
in
Stevens.
LA. Because it's the exact middle ground between Brody Stevens and Steve Simone. Bradley Cooper's character is.
Yeah.
Nice.
Zero Dark 30.
No.
Treat yourself.
I heard that was just America.
No, see, that's what
Treat
I think.
Yourself.
That's horse shit. I hate that. Like, it's propaganda. Propaganda. I hate that shit. I hate people saying like the whole reason like that it was Obama stuff. They go over both during the Bush administration and Obama's administration, and some people are pissed off because they're glorifying torture. It's what fucking happened.
Yeah.
It's what we had to do in order to get the information.
I heard they said that they were over
estimating how much that torture information actually led to anything usable. Whereas in the movie, they showed that it was like it actually led to like real clues.
Well, I mean, it's over a process of 8 years.
Yeah, right. But you also see it weighing on them too. Like we can't keep doing this to people. Yeah. Like it's not because it seems fruitless for a long time.
Right.
Like you got to hang in
that
movie,
that nugget, right.
Because you got to keep believing. That's why it's so important that the movie came out after we killed Bin Laden, because when they were making the movie,
how was that when you went?
When it started out, they hadn't gotten him yet when they started making
the movie.
And so then it happens, and they're like, well, we should probably do a rewrite on the script here at the end.
Oh, yeah.
Because we killed him. And then going in knowing that, it makes the movie that much more powerful.
Yeah.
In said opinion.
Wouldn't it make it less powerful if they had to change the ending based on stuff that happened later?
That movie would have not been the same. I mean, because you had...
I don't know if you would have stuck with the movie.
Yeah.
You know?
Because
you know something good's coming at the end.
Then it would have been boring, because the thing is, it leads up like it's like.
But it wasn't made with that in mind.
No,
with the good thing at the end
at the time, because it's like Homeland. A lot of the episode, a lot of the movie is like an episode of Homeland.
Yeah.
You're going through it, and then by the end, that last half an hour,
mm-hmm.
it's just so.
I just watched the first episode of Homeland.
And what'd you think?
Pretty great.
Yeah. And that's
when I tell people, like, sometimes when they ask me like about what's the show.
Breaking Bad?
No, the Atlantic City show.
Oh, Vegas? Like, I mean, not Vegas.
Boardwalk Empire?
Yeah. Shows like that or The Wire. I'll tell people it's slow. It takes a while before mm-hmm. it really gets gripping. Yeah. But then certain shows aren't slow.
Like Breaking Bad right away. First episode.
I don't remember Breaking Bad.
And Homeland?
Homeland.
It was like, oh, you got me.
Right into
Sons of Anarchy. I was like, first episode, I'm like, I want to be in a biker gang.
I'm ready.
I'm ready for this.
That show, yeah.
I'm ready.
Yeah, no, that's what I heard.
Yeah, certain ones I just get right into.
Yeah. All right, we got one more movie.
You should watch Breaking Bad.
So how many?
For Ari to get to the magic number of 2.
There's only one more.
Ari is now 2 of 8.
Push.
I'm worried about it.
What do you got?
I'm worried about it. Life of Pi.
No.
Damn it. 2.
No.
Damn it.
But Ari, there's 3 movies that you should really see on this list in a theater.
Silver Lining Playbook.
Silver Lining Playbook.
That's you think theater worthy?
No, you don't need to see it in theater. You can see the screen. You can watch a screener.
Yeah, you
can
watch
the
screener. Silver Linings.
I didn't get any screeners this year just because I haven't paid my SAG dues in 19 months.
Yeah, they tend not to do that.
And that was one of them.
They don't give you late fees, so of course I'm not going to pay on time.
They should do.
That was one of them.
If you don't pay your SAG dues, they should send you like shitty movies. Like, Ari should have gotten like Piranha 3DD.
Yeah.
You have to watch this terrible movie. Zero Dark 30, definitely seen in a theater. And Life of Pi, if you can still see it somewhere in a theater, definitely.
It's the best 3D. Honestly, I am not a big
Joe Rogan said he hated that movie. That was 3D.
Yeah.
And generally, whatever he says about movies, I'm the opposite. So
here's
maybe
the
I'll go see
the
it.
Movie itself, Ang Lee, I thought was directing wise.
He did Brokeback Mountain, right?
Yeah, and and the shitty Hulk movie. But he also did. But what he does, though, it literally looks like a museum painting the whole time. The story, I think, if it was any other director, you wouldn't really care about it as much. It's just the way it looks. In the theater, it's just such a spectacle to watch.
It's rare for me to be in a movie and not complain about the 3D glasses, especially in the movie that long.
James Cameron actually was complimenting on how great it was too.
You know what I like? They sell you 3D glasses, and sometimes they can only seat you front right, and you can't really see this. I had to walk out with Dennis the main 3D movie, the first one,
Avatar.
Yeah, because we're like, what? This is like previews. We're like, let's get out of here.
Yeah.
And we got our money back.
Well, sometimes after the previews, they turn on the 3D. Like in the theater, there's like
there was
a
3D preview too. That was a problem.
Oh, really?
And so we saw that and we're like, this doesn't look good.
It's I feel like I'm getting brain cancer because, like, you know, when
Crouching
you're in the theater,
Tiger,
and it
did
turns
that too.
On, and then
right. that was like, one of those beautiful fucking. There was like three or four Asian movies that came out within a few years. Crouching Tiger, House of Flying Daggers.
That was the one that put them on the map.
Yeah, but that was such a beautiful movie that you're like, oh my, you want to see that on a giant screen.
This one you have, you still can see it the way it looked. I mean, really, it's a spectacle the way it looks.
Really?
Yeah, it's really a cool film to look at.
Yeah. So those are your best pictures, Ari. That's what you got to. That's what you got to look forward to.
Yeah, I just sort of. So okay, when you guys go back and see Star Wars now, do you feel like, oh yeah, it's not as good?
We've had this conversation, and I disagree with you so much on this. The prequels, they're horrendous, and we don't even talk about.
Yeah.
Them. But you and Simone keep telling me that you didn't like. You still don't like the original.
Because I went
movies?
Back and I used to watch them, and then I went back and I'm like, oh, these are either just for kids or something. But the acting is terrible.
I wholeheartedly disagree.
Luke Skywalker and fucking Leia and all that stuff. It's just like,
you think Chewbacca's a good actor?
I have to watch it again. I'm still like, oh, the new ones were so shitty. It made me go back and watch the old ones and realize
I'm telling you, the old ones I are saw so it. Good. They're
yeah.
This news that came
you're
out.
You're too licked
they're
in with it.
Perfect movies.
Yeah. You've already decided that was your favorite movie, so you can never face the fact that it wouldn't be good.
So let me ask you a question. Do you think then that they can, that with this news of Disney buying it and new directors getting their hands on it and new writers, do you think that it's got a potential to be something that you could be into now, or you still think it's just for kids? No way. Then.
Well, I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, it's Disney, so it probably will be just for kids.
No, because here's another reason why. It came out today. Zack Snyder, the guy who's doing Man of Steel and has done some dark stuff, he's doing a spin-off Star Wars movie. I don't even know if you know this.
Wow, no. Yeah, I just got a raging bone.
For Disney?
Yeah, for Disney. And they're doing a spin-off Star Wars movie, it's rumored right now, that he's going, and it'll take place after Jedi, and it'll be around the events of this new trilogy that's coming out also, but it's a total spin-off based off the Seven Samurai.
Oh, man, I just got so hard.
Oh, really? Wow. Yeah.
So they're going to have a more darker tone, and so
because the Jedi should be more like samurais. I would love to see a movie about like a 27-year-old Yoda before he's all turned and shriveled and stuff.
Like old Republic style. Like a varsity jacket.
Yeah, and like see what his life was like.
yeah.
They probably didn't even. I mean, maybe they had space travel. I guess they would have by then. But like
they had. I'm a super nerd when it comes.
It'd be weird to see Yoda fuck something up. Like have Yoda make Danny DeVito, bad
like
decision.
Someone like a young Danny DeVito play it. Someone short.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
Because he definitely got shorter over time, but like not that much shorter.
Yeah. Danny DeVito may have to get in the gym
I would love
pull
to see
that
Danny
role
DeVito
off.
As a Jedi.
Someone short.
Yeah.
Who could
Warwick
play
Warwick Davis.
Who?
Warwick Davis, the guy that played Wicket, the Ewok in the original trilogy.
Yeah.
You know what they do? I just read for Jack Reacher. They build doorways shorter to make people look taller. So they will build sets to be like, get a fucking 5-foot doorway in here so Reacher has to jump
I don't
under
think
he
looks 6'5 now, idiots.
And they have someone else coming
that's
in.
That's for everybody. That's for a couple specific huge actors, most of whom are tiny, fit into the oversized compartments of airplanes.
What do you think the reason is that the movies have gotten shittier if they have?
You mean
as
like
a whole?
Big blockbusters?
Is it because they're more like... the research people have gotten bigger. And
there's more money involved.
Before, it seemed like 30 years ago, if you made a movie, it was just like, we've agreed to let you make a movie. Go for it.
Nah.
Here's your budget.
There's more money involved and there's more studios that are collaborating. So when one movie fails, you know when you see a movie and it's like 9 different studios before it? It's like this pictures, this company.
And so all those
companies are fucked if that movie doesn't
do well.
And so they all have their say in it. They want to make sure their money doesn't.
I worked it for Joel Silver's company for like, 2.5-3 years, and like we had to like Joel Silver at the time, one of the biggest producers ever. He still would have to submit notes to Warner Brothers, and whoever the executive was, and then another executive, and then the creative executive was, and then the director, and then it's too many sometimes. When you get a guy like Christopher,
instead of like one or two people being in charge,
that's why Dark Knight, by the way, was so good because you had Christopher Nolan, who when the notes came in, he's like, "Fuck you." And he could say
or at least if it was one person's notes, we could be like, oh, I'll take this, but this, no.
Exactly.
Because a lot of times people just make notes for the sake of making notes, and you have these, I won't say weak filmmakers, but like scared of their position. Like, they're not set in their way. They're not like Scorsese. Yeah.
I think you almost have to give newer filmmakers a pass the first time they make a big budget movie, because if they make a movie and it's okay, but you can tell there's a lot of
studio
fingerprints
on it.
There'll never
be another one.
But if it makes a lot of money, then that director gets
some
clout.
What they want.
All these studios will back it, but they'll have less of their people chirping in their ear.
Shoot. Like
that's what Louis C.K. said about his show once, some Q&A. He was like, yeah, they give me the whatever, let's say $100,000 budget. Mm-hmm. They give me that, but if I ask for more, let's say I needed what he said for one, he needed more. Maybe that was the helicopter one. I don't know.
Yeah.
He goes, if it doesn't make money, then that's when they'll come in with notes and say, well, now we have to guide you because you're losing us money.
Yeah. Right.
So as long as you continue to make the money, it's fine. But if you don't, then it's like you don't get the say anymore.
Yeah.
So you don't think there's a way to make it like a Caddyshack anymore, where it's like get some funny people and just go fucking do it, or some talented people?
I mean, I think you get, again, like you know, regardless of what you think of the first Hangover, like Todd Phillips.
First Hangover was great.
Yeah.
Second Hangover, that's when they had their say. So sometimes you need the studio to come in and be like, noodle, what are you doing? This is so awful.
Well, look at Judd Apatow, by the way. Judd Apatow is an example, because Judd Apatow now, all his movies are like 3.5 hours long. They're so long.
Because people won't tell him stop
it. People won't tell him cut it out. Like, this is 40 and Funny People, so long. It's
He's gotten on a downhill.
Both of those movies really had a shot to be special.
Yeah.
I like Funny People, but it's like that movie really had a shot to really do something
big,
and it just got too bloated. And
he spent half an hour at Leslie Mann's house.
I heard it was just like his home movies.
That's
pretty much what he was showing. Like, look at my family. Here's what I didn't see Funny People only because I was scared that it would make me angry. because the way they portray stand-ups usually in film is just like makes me mad.
It's a pretty accurate portrayal. I mean, anything that's not in reality will bug you a little bit, but it's the least of that. It's not punchline.
Like a punchline where they have the lockers that come in. Like, lockers? What do you want? Who did this research?
Everybody in the back cheering on Sally Field so she can get her shot on Carson. Yeah. Be like, fuck her. Give her the light. Yeah, there's way guys more in likely. The crowd. Put me up, man.
Way more likely somebody would come in and be like, oh, I'm sorry, I dropped some drinks. Like, on purpose, just to fuck with them. That's way more likely.
Yeah. So I don't know. Like, the studio, definitely, they like to get their mitts on it, for sure. But, I mean, it just depends. It depends on what the product is. Again, you'll get a movie like, let's say, The Hunger Games.
Yeah.
To where you have...
It's pretty cool, especially for a kid's movie. Yeah, it's really good for that.
Again, though, the funny thing is that those books, and this is the decision-making between the studio, those books are pretty... graphic or detailed on what you want to say about whether it's comparison to Battle Royale or whatnot. It is very, it should have been rated R, but they're not going to make that movie rated R because you need to get kids in there and teenagers in there to see it because you're still going to play off, even if it's close to Twilight or not, which I don't think it is. That's the audience you're going for.
This is my acting teacher told me about, who's the guy that was in the worst Iron Man?
Mickey Rourke?
Yeah. They said he went away for a long time.
Yeah.
Like he was a serious actor for a while, really respected. Then he was like not respected for like a long time.
Yeah.
Barely did movies and then came back. And they said.
Travolta.
What?
Like Travolta also.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they said the reason was because he got, when he was a serious actor the first time, he got this role of an Irish person and he went to Ireland and fucking researched what an authentic Irish accent would be.
Yeah.
Because I played basketball with a French girl.
Is that State of Grace?
I don't know what movie it was. It could have been.
I think it was State of Grace, maybe.
And French accents aren't the au revoir. It's really not that. That's just a very like specific type of French accent. And most people don't talk that way from France. So he got this really authentic Irish accent, and he was like really proud of himself. And the studio came in and said, it's too hard to understand. You got to take it off. He goes, no, but this is what someone who was raised in that countryside in Ireland, like I've looked. I went there on my own. This is what they sound like. Not just one dude, but this is what they sound like. I said, well, people aren't going to be able to hear it, so you got to change it. And he was like, ah, fuck, it's all about money. And then he just got really disillusioned. And he's like, well, fuck it then. Just give me any role.
Oh, yeah.
Like that. I heard it was like that, a big disillusionment for him. Why did I bring that up?
Well, but think about that from an audience standpoint, though. If you go to see a movie.
Because money comes in and plays a part.
But if you see a movie and you're like, I can't understand any of this shit.
Yeah, I get it.
How do you feel?
I get it, but it's not about putting out the best product or best acting wise, best directing. Yeah,
it's funny. Sometimes it is and sometimes it isn't. I mean, the overall, the thing is, like, it drives me crazy when you're just like, just go with a good story. And even if you have like this, the budget, but if you go with the story more than it's just like the practical.
Story makes a movie to me.
Big time. And the character development and everything too. Yeah. But a lot of times, like, they'll just throw this shit against the wall. But that's what really makes the great ones stick out. Or maybe even what you were saying before, though, too. Even if it's just good. Because we have so much crap behind
just solid. Make it all make sense.
Yeah.
Don't make characters come in from nowhere and be like, wait, what was that? Who was that guy?
I think we could make a really small budget rom-com about Ari playing basketball with this French chick. And like you learn how to speak her language. You learn what real love is.
And at the end, he just curses Django for about 15 minutes.
But my problem is that Tarantino is my favorite director. And I don't like saying favorite very often because I think it's too like it forces you to have to stick to something.
You're not a guy that does like, oh, you're my best friend.
Yeah, because then what's about next week when someone else is like, it's like it implies that other people are not your best friend and they can't be. You have to stick to Nietzsche always said that. Like once you verbalize something, your mind sticks to it real hard. So
can't
be careful.
Yeah, ask Mel Gibson.
Yeah, well, not even like when people hear it, just when you say like when you say out loud like, God, I really don't like that guy.
Then from then on,
you really try to not like or laugh at anything he says.
Because you said it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is why every day I wake up and I say, God, I love Star Wars.
Yeah. I mean, that's part of it. You have to see that, right?
Absolutely.
That you like it because you like it.
That I love Randolph Childress more than I should as a basketball player. Doug Williams is probably not the best quarterback that ever lived. But to me, he's my favorite.
Randolph Childress still had one of the most exciting plays in college basketball.
You were there.
I was there. I gave you that sweatshirt.
I still have it.
From the ACC tournament.
The 95 ACC tournament when Randolph Childress set the record for most points in an ACC tournament.
Wow.
That's what bugs me about. And it's a totally different thing. But that's what bugs me about all these college conferences, like becoming super conferences, is that you lose those cool conference tournaments before. Uh-huh. But that's a different.
But he knocked
Quentin Tarantino has nothing to do with that.
He knocked this guy down. He was a great player. He was an off guard college.
A point guard.
They made him play point guard in the pros.
No, he ran point.
Really? He didn't do a shooting guard?
Yeah.
Okay. But this guy, Jeff McInnes, I think it was Jeff McInnes, really good defender, like ACC defensive player, definitely first or second team defensive player of the year.
Yep. Played for Carolina.
Yeah. in the ACC championship game, my friend had sold his tickets. They were Maryland fans. We all drove down from Maryland. Mm-hmm. My brother scalped tickets too. My friend got arrested for scalping to a cop.
Maryland had a really good team that year too with Joe Smith.
Yeah. And
the story pays off, Christian. You got
Randolph Childress on the outside, McInnes guarding him, fucking crosses him over, shoots right, then crosses over left. McInnes dives to Randolph Childress' right side and breaks his ankle. Doesn't break it, but like he falls
down backwards
as McInnes pulls over. So then he's like open for a three. The place is going crazy. It's an ACC championship in Greensboro, North Carolina, at the Coliseum. No, we stayed at the Coliseum.
It was at Greensboro Coliseum.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. We stayed at a hotel called the Coliseum. We called it because it was like trying to be like, you know, like the what's it called letter, the Greek letters, the Roman letters. So it had the V instead of the U.
Yeah, the Coliseum.
Yeah, it was some shitty. We stayed 3-room in a motel. Yeah. But anyway, he crossed him over. And then everyone's like, and then Randolph Childress gives him the come here sign, like get up and come over here. And the whole place went silent. The whole place, 15,000 people were like, what? As he's giving him get up, like he starts to shoot, he says, no, get up. Then McInnes starts to get up and he just rains a three, buries it, and the place erupted.
One of the coolest things I've ever seen.
God, it was cool.
Yeah.
And Wake Forest went on to beat North Carolina. North Carolina.
First ACC championship.
Congratulations. That was their first one?
In a long time, yeah. Thank you. Not 1995.
And I gave you the sweatshirt. I was trying to clear stuff. I'm glad you have it. It's better you have it than everybody else.
Just every year you say, hey, remember the 95 ACC championship?
Wow. That was 17 years ago?
Yeah.
Is that the only time they won?
They won the next year in 96. Because Tim Duncan was on that team.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Tim Duncan was on. He was a sophomore, then a junior, and won.
Insane.
Good times.
Ronnie Rogers, they have him too?
Good times. No, he already graduated.
Oh, okay. I have some more questions for you guys.
Yeah. Are they about college basketball?
1995.
No, some of it got to. The movies kind of... what do you think movies are... And it's still, I hate using comparison words, but like, do you think movies are worse now than 20 years ago?
No, I don't.
Absolutely not.
You think they're better? Or even?
Yeah, I mean, again, it goes exactly right back to what we were just talking about. I don't think it's a better or worse. I think it's a matter of story. I think there's the reason why you may be able to do more now is just because there's in media and there's so much more that you can get for information and more.
But don't you think they screen it in front of audiences more and then go back and reshoot? Isn't that a more often thing?
Yeah, that happens.
Where they're just like, what's everyone going to be happiest about? That's what we'll put in.
Films are more meticulously made today, and there's more because it's very rare in a modern film that you see like an error, that there's a goof. There's like a boom mic hanging there.
Oh, right.
You see somebody like looking the camera by accident. And that kind of stuff was just part of movies back in the
day. I'm less concerned with that.
But that doesn't happen at all today.
Yeah, right.
But then
that's
also,
good. You're right.
There's movies that you just could not make 30 years ago. A Life of Pi would not have, even when Jurassic Park was out, you could not have made Life of Pi and make it look realistic.
Even Zero Dark.
Oh, it looked real with the tiger?
It looks phenomenal.
Oh, that's cool.
There's always a transfer thing, though. That's why you see that movie in the theater.
Because
even like Rise of Planet of the Apes, which I loved, I saw it on TV the other day, and the special effects aren't as good.
I saw Jurassic Park on TV, and it was like, oh.
Right. And we've evolved so much than two.
But just the look of it. I'm sure the movie still would grip me and stuff, but like just the beginning when they see the brontosauruses, I'm like, those don't look real.
Are you guys Jurassic Park fans, by the way?
I loved it.
Well, you know, the fourth
one. I was on the edge of my seat. I wasn't a fan of the whole
thing. Well, the fourth one,
all right, too much. But the first movie was amazing.
Yeah. The Lost World was good. Then it fell apart when Jeff Goldblum's adopted daughter did acrobatics.
Oh, it was horrendous that second.
It's like if you get cut from your gymnastic team, you're not going to be able to perform under the pressure of having a dinosaur's jaws ready to eat you when you fall off the uneven bar.
Those are things where it's like you're making me feel that this is not realistic. You're losing me as an audience member.
And that's what they do sometimes. That's
Janko got that too. His first shot was a fucking horse moving away with a fucking rifle. Nailed him. He's getting away. Like, he's already away. The guys can never shoot him.
But Tarantino had a way, though, of making it look. Even though you watch it, though, if you start thinking about it, then sure. But if you're watching it, it still looks like, okay, look, that just happened. As opposed to that girl in Lost World doing flips.
Yeah,
off
come
the side
on,
of
bro.
It. It's like, no.
Ryan Redband used to say this, and I like the idea. I really do. Is take a movie, any movie, to the right board of people and say, we're going to review this for don't do that shit.
Yeah,
you know, like why was that character and it never came back? You have to pay that off, or why that guy can't move? He can't fly all of a sudden.
Yeah, well, I think the audience,
his back was broken. Now suddenly he's flying out of a hole. Like, what are you talking about?
I think the audience
things like
has
that
looked upon though as dumb for a very long time.
Yeah, but not screening audiences just like randomly in Times Square. I'm talking about specific people like you guys. Yeah. Comic book nerds, people that would know shit.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. I think, again, and I get, like using Nolan as the example, I think because what he did also, not only with The Dark Knight, and yeah. what he did with Inception.
Yeah.
Inception came out in...
We're recording something, Paulie. Have you never seen somebody record something? Yep. You feel the need to interrupt so bad?
Yeah.
I got my face on love, bro.
Hey,
oh, very nice.
Nice. Paulie right, Shore we'll on face on love.
Paulie yeah. Shore.
What the fuck is going on in here?
we're talking about movies.
He almost got in a fight with Suge Knight, bro.
No.
Really?
Really? Yeah, what happened?
Talk
Suge.
About it. Talk about it.
Faison, come here, man.
What happened? Yeah. What happened right there? What happened with the fight with Suge Knight?
Well, you know, things happen.
Was it
with Cat Williams?
Was it because of, was it because a white guy couldn't tell you guys apart?
Whoa!
Was that when it was over?
See your fucking iPod passed, fucker.
Wait, did you get into a fight with Suge Knight? What was that? Give him the mic back.
We were talking about cookies.
Okay.
And clearly he thinks Nestle's chocolate chip is the best.
That's what I was saying. I thought it would be good for
And what are you into?
This would be good for the podcast.
Yeah, it would.
You bring him in, you know? We're just passing through. We just wanted to see.
Oh, his, this is a mobile part. I have the yeah. same thing, but I use
the Zoom.
What bronze are you using?
You know, oh, really? In Suge's defense, his first name is Suge. He probably knows something about sweets Sugar, and desserts,
baked goods.
Nestle's is not the best.
What's
okay?
the best?
I like the one with the white thing in the middle with Oreos.
Oreos.
Oh, yeah.
I like keeping it happy and universal.
Do you ever get Oreo lemon? That's, like the no, one with the white?
That, no, that's like...
Lemons, you know, that, lemons you know, do
you know
not
why,
belong
you know
in
why E.T. Had eight... Reese's Pieces?
Why?
Because they taste like that, what tastes like fucking cum. And I don't know what cum tastes like, but I'm pretty sure it tastes like lemon oil.
That's awesome. What a great pop.
That's funny.
Stop this. This is my favorite room.
Crash it.
Richard Pryor used to stand right there.
Where we are?
Yeah.
Right where you are.
You ever see him in the later years when he wheeled himself up on stage?
I don't remember the
old days. I'm glad I never saw that.
I think I'd still prefer to have seen Pryor alive one time do stand up, even if it was later.
No, I saw Carlin. I saw Carlin right before, and it was good to see him on stage. But it was
going to see the Rolling Stones now.
Yeah,
you missed it.
Yeah,
it
but actually,
tough.
Danis, you heard Danis's story. Jeff Danis, he Carlin complimented him.
Yeah, I remember that.
Because Danis was hosting the open mic, and Carlin just walked in the back. He didn't do his set, but George Carlin walked right by us in the Comedy Store, and he told Danis he was doing a really good job hosting, keeping the show together, and it was like the coolest
fucking
thing.
Paulie
Shore. Did Paulie Shore just set up the alarm?
Pull that close. Maybe it'll go off if it closes, but I doubt it.
Pretty great. He knew that he was going to do it. Yeah.
I like how Faison too was like, he's like, no, we shouldn't go by them. We're going to interrupt.
That was exactly the prank that he knew he was
going
to do.
This motherfucker, Paulie.
So now we have an alarm going off in the back.
This is like the intense version of the light when you're a comedian. Is we just got the alarm.
It won't pick up that much.
We're doing the podcast.
I know people hear it in the background, but it won't pick up that much in the mics.
But we were talking about the Blockbuster.
Oh yeah,
and the thing what it was about what Nolan did in it was July of that year was he put out Inception, and that movie. Like it is so intense, and it's but you have to really.
That's a movie that's like, look, there's no part of me. It breeds discussion afterwards.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
There's no part of me like, wait a minute, why would he do that? If
and it made a shit ton of money, and it became a new standard. I think because people then go, oh wait a minute, the audience isn't as dumb as you think they are,
right?
And then because that's like
and then they will allow them
right.
to make it's like what they did for I read this for How I Met Your Mother, which is an okay show.
Yeah.
They said they're allowing, that year that came out, the studios were finally saying, hey, we've been failing left and right, so we're just going to let you guys make your own shows and see what happens.
See what
and
happens.
Then you got some shows that actually came out of that. They're like, just let me fucking deal with it.
It's all about team, though. It's really, what it is that the best, I think, studio executive is the one who really doesn't do much.
Yeah, just make sure they're not going way wrong.
Yeah, it's the one that says, like, okay, look, that guy is talented. I don't need to do anything. I know that he's going to pick a team around him to put together a great movie. He's going to put good actors together. He's going to get a good casting director. He's going to get enough people that he's going to bring me a movie, and I'm going to go, great, just change that and maybe that, but the rest is fucking
awesome. The best studio executive is the guy that keeps all the other studio executives at bay.
Yeah.
Is the guy that's like, no, look, I'll take care of these guys for you so you can just be an artist and make your movie. The problem with movies that make a lot of money, like Inception made a lot of money and it deserved it, and then you have a movie like Transformers 3 that makes a lot of money, and so that's Michael Bay's defense. what Michael Bay doesn't seem to realize is that Transformers 3, what it made like, what, $500 million in the United States. It would have made $1.5 billion in the U.S.
If it was a good story. Yeah. Just make a good story and then cast it. It seems like they have like, we got a shitty script, but we can put all these great stars in it and make it sellable, or put special effects in it and make it sellable. But it's like, there's other good scripts out there. Dude, look, you can get these people to be in it.
Going back to your Star Wars thing, too. Like, again, you want to
Training Day was good.
But you want to go to the prequels. Okay, you want to go to prequels real quick. Them, those movies made an insane amount, but it's based of all the Star Wars nostalgia that we had before.
Because they would have been, regardless.
Right. Yeah. Imagine had it been as great as the other ones, it would have beaten Titanic. I think it's
absolutely
the most
profitable
movie of all.
No, well, that's the thing with Titanic. Is like Titanic was a really actually it turned out to be a pretty affecting movie.
Yeah.
When you watch it, so that's why people paid to see it 9 and 10 times.
Well, they also did something different, which is funny about Titanic. Titanic also came out in January, which is very rare as well.
And Christmas Day came out.
Christmas Day, right, so it was nominated, but it had its big run. It was the only movie, they don't do this anymore. It ran from like January to like April or May. It was still out. It was the number one movie from like
for
January.
So long.
That doesn't happen.
That thing just rolled over.
People
that
saw
was like
so many times.
Yeah. It was like UNLV because it was just playing inferior competition every time. What movie in the second weekend of January is going to open against Titanic and beat it?
Something would.
Right.
At least in like early March. Something would have come in.
It's crazy. I mean, that just doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah. It just seems, like they have a movie like, we got to do a number two.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't even think, like, let's make a really kick-ass story. The Dark Knight, they had at least two really good movies in that franchise.
Yeah.
Two great movies. And then another half one.
Okay. Yeah. An okay movie.
I liked the last one, but
you thought it was your favorite? It was your favorite?
No, it was not my favorite. The Dark Knight was my favorite. And the reason, Mark and I were talking about this actually on the way here, and what I do agree with is the fact that the movie is, Nolan set such a standard with Batman Begins and The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
So that when you get to Dark Knight Rises, it's harder to throw in those inconsistencies and have not people have you call you out on it.
Because they're expecting so much more.
Right.
And I think movies in general have bred a movie watching audience to not expect much.
Yeah.
And so people are like, no, it was pretty good. Like, it was pretty good based on the movies of the last 10 years.
Well, they're also very excited to see, like, you know, at that point, what he had done with both those movies, it was like, again, watching Tyson fight in this point.
Yeah.
If Tyson, like, had a so-so fight, it was still Tyson.
Right.
You're still watching him fight.
I still love being in a theater getting to watch Batman for 3 hours. Yeah. But if you're a comic and that's your material, you're not closing on The Dark Knight Rises. Like, like you can't follow yourself.
Same thing with Matrix. Same thing happened with Matrix.
Yeah. Two and three shouldn't exist.
Yeah.
Two wasn't bad.
Two made my head. Within 10 minutes of watching two, I'm like, done.
Here's why two was bad? I'm trying to remember, though,
because three is so shitty that two makes no
two
sense.
Two set up stuff.
That's
what I said. Brett Ernst was saying that for Star Wars because he was such a fucking fan. He goes, no, but it's setting shit up for later. And I'm like, I have never, I've heard that excuse so much.
Yeah.
It sets shit up for later. It's like, pay off something for this movie.
Yeah.
Movie should stand alone.
I agree with
you. And also, it didn't set shit up for later.
Three was so bad of Matrix that by that two, I remember saying the same thing. I remember going, well, you know, as long as three pays off, then two will be, that would be, oh, okay, now I know why that all went down. That doesn't happen. Three's horrific.
Yeah.
People feel a need to do some sort of triptych, and they don't, there's no reason for it. Just do two.
The trilogy,
because of Star Wars.
But why did that? Yeah, it's like, why not four? Why not two? Why is that the number?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're not gonna get. We'll be talking about Star Wars for a long time. They're gonna be
Red, White, and Blue is a trilogy.
Which one?
Red, White, and Blue. Those French movies no. 12, 13 years ago.
Uh-uh. No idea what you're talking about.
No, Alice didn't watch movies before he did Schmoes.
Red, White, and Blue, and France. No, yeah. I'm not.
It was like red, and then another one was called white. One was called blue.
Well, all right, that kind of makes sense to be a trilogy.
Wasn't the Kevin Smith movie about the Clerks world? Wasn't that a trilogy?
Unofficially, the Mallrats.
Mallrats, Chasing Amy, and all exist in the same world. Yeah. But then they had Clerks 2.
Right, Clerks 2, and I mean they're always.
Oh, is that the movie Clerks 2? Was that the movie you guys had sex with during the previews for that movie?
What did we do?
Oh no, that was me.
That was you.
Congratulations.
thanks.
It's weird that you would have thought that we were the ones that did that when it actually happened to you. It's weird that your mind does that.
Yeah, it just plays tricks on you sometimes. Yeah.
You wanted to talk about it, so go ahead. Whatever.
Are there any, let him bring me to this. Well, it was during a preview. It was with the girl I was married to at the time.
That's pretty quick.
But it was like, just preview. Yeah.
Like, if you get in there and you start, and you have sex during the previews.
Previews are long, man. And I wanted to see the movie. I was looking forward to Clerks 2.
So you waited. So you got the credits, you were done. By the time the opening credits started, it was...
We were done with it.
Okay.
Do you remember what the preview was that you climaxed to?
No, I'm not positive if I actually shot a loadout.
Yeah.
You were just like,
I might have just like
started,
do it, sit on top of me, lift your skirt up, do it. Yeah. We did it in the movie
that theater. Trailer music is pretty intense.
What
though?
Theater was that? So I know not to go there.
It was in. I definitely shot it all over the door handles. But I will tell you this: if you're doing anything like that in public, jerking off, sex, whatever it is, taking a dump, whatever it is that you shouldn't be doing in public, but you are. The thought is to go away from a door, to go like where it's super quiet and like right a corner. That's a bad idea because then you can't see when people come in. I jerked off on a Qantas flight to Australia, and you think
in the seat or in the bathroom?
In the seat. I had a first class ticket, so I could lean over. It was one of those pods. I didn't pay for it. Relax. Yeah. But
no
like,
one was sitting next to you.
No one sitting. There are no. There's one row on the right, one row down the middle, and one row on the left.
Okay.
And so I would turn away from where it was nighttime when everyone was sleeping. I would turn away from where the stewardess.
But you can't get full speed.
Full speed what?
Your fucking hand. You can't get full speed.
On your side?
Yeah.
Why not?
You really, and it doesn't look like you're going fucking bananas over there? All right.
Yeah. No, well, I don't vigorously go for it. I move it up.
I just figured you want.
It's more of a romantic light a candle kind of jerk on an airplane.
On a flight, though? I'm just thinking you'd want to go
it
full.
It probably takes a while, and you want it to take a while. It's a long flight.
All right.
Yeah, I want jets to work the head a little bit. But anyway, you turn away from that so they don't catch you, but then you have to keep looking over your shoulder to see if the guys come in.
Yeah.
So just face the fucking door.
Just look right at the stewardess.
And that way, if any movement, you just stop. You can just be on your side. So we did it right by the door, too, and it was really good.
I thought you'd do it right by the door so you have an escape hatch, because people get caught. Ari, the more famous you get, the more likely you are to get caught jerking off.
Right. Now they're going to be looking for you.
Oh, yeah. Instead of like, hey, get out of here. Right. Instead of that, it's, hey, Brad Pitt caught jerking off.
You're just
going
to be on a flight now. Someone's going to say, dude, are you jerking off?
Yeah, that's right.
It's going to be
now I'm looking at you and jerking off.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
You just knowing yourself. You can't follow that story. There's going to be some kid that's heartbroken
because
he sees Ari on a flight and he's like, he didn't jerk off once.
Maybe Pee Wee Herman would have gotten away with it if someone walked in and he was like, that's right.
That's what I'm doing. Here was my question anyway, what it led to. Are there any reviewer groupies?
You know, it's funny. You do get them. It's I mean, it's because it's so.
My theory is this groupie's at every level.
There is, absolutely. And there's a YouTube. You know what it is? It's a YouTube also like movie reviewing community. There are film fans are intense.
Wow.
There's a very lot passionate. Of.
They're so intense about film fans. I'm not saying whether you've done it with any of them at all. That'll be a next second question.
Yeah.
But just the fact that they will be attracted to someone who is not. In the movies, but who reviews the movies that they like.
Yeah. I mean, you know what it is? Because just like you were saying before.
I'm sure sports writers get groupies.
Whatever
Woody
it is.
Woody Page, probably. Yeah.
And he's not a sports guy. He doesn't play much.
Whatever form of entertainment you're in, stand-up or doing podcasts or anything, if you're entertaining, that's all it counts. It doesn't matter if you're in the movies or not. If you're entertaining and people want to watch you or listen to you, then you're going to have people who want to hear you.
Yeah, especially when it's a video medium too, because I don't think a lot of people would touch themselves because Roger Ebert is writing something great about a movie in the Chicago Tribune.
Do you think he used to get that from the Chicago Tribune? He was the biggest guy.
I bet he did once he got the TV show.
That's
but what
true.
About before the TV show? Because before he got the TV show, there's a few names, Gene Shalit, Siskel and Ebert back then, where if they had that Leonard Maltin, if you see their names next to a movie saying one of the best movies of the year, Leonard Maltin, you're like, ooh, that's one of the guys.
Right.
So if you were at a bar and somebody said, what's your name? I'm like, oh, Leonard Maltin.
Yeah, I'm sure he got a couple of those.
The Leonard Maltin was like, that's me. Yeah. He must get some girls like, whoo, that's Leonard Maltin.
He's
their movie reviewer.
What's weird about, because there are a lot of hot chicks that will watch video reviews online. And again, it's like, it's just not you just talking about the movie. It's you're the star of that show. It's like, we're the star of Schmoes No.
Yeah.
You know, it's like we're using movies as a jumping off point for a film conversation, but they're still watching us.
Schmoes No is the podcast or
if you go to youtube.com/Schmoes No, that's where you get your video reviews. But you know what's funny? When we started getting a lot of our female fans was once, because we had, Katie Sackhoff from Battlestar Galactica. She was our co-host.
Battlestar was great.
Yeah. Well, she was our co-host for our podcast.
That got going right away, too.
Yeah.
That was another show that started right away. Like, let's go. Yeah. Fucking war. Immediately.
Right away. I mean, and they showed you what kind of tone that show was going to be. But she came on to be our co-host for a couple of months on our podcast.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And that brought in a lot of female fans. And then even when she left, they stuck around.
They stuck.
So that's,
that's why doing other people's podcasts is good for your own. Just because, let's say 100 people listen to this.
Yeah.
Let's say 50 like you guys.
Yeah.
Five of those are going to go check out your podcast, and maybe one or two is like, "Oh, this is exactly the type of humor I'm into."
And that's all. Yeah, yeah.
We'd welcome all 100 to check it out.
Yeah, please.
Yeah, absolutely. But like, that's the way transference works that way.
100%. The thing is too, what we found too, even from doing podcasts and stuff too, the people will come and they'll have conversations, and you're going to get people who don't agree with what the hell you're talking about sometimes at movies. And instead of them having yelling and screaming the whole time, we literally will respond back to everybody on YouTube. And I respond to everybody, and I have conversations with them about movies. If they stay in like stupid shit, like, you know, kill you guys yourself. Fucking faggots, then it's like, then you just delete them.
Actually, that's a negative word, and we are not homosexuals because
I'm not sure about Elvis, but I know I'm not. Yeah,
but you know, it's just more of like when someone says, I don't really agree with your opinion here on this movie because this is okay. Great, man. So let's talk about it. I love talking movies. That's why.
I heard about somebody did this once. Who follows Opie and Anthony? Fuck.
Silence.
Faison.
No, well, he's gone.
What I was going to say is the bigger your show gets, the more not only idiots you're going to have that comment on your stuff. Because when the show was smaller, it was 100% positive comments.
Oh.
And now the show's big, and it's like you read. And you just get those typical internet dummies.
That's fine. I don't even notice. I just click next. Yeah. It's fine. It's not any constructive criticism. It's fine.
Yeah.
Somebody told me once, they gave me the construct, people your intros are too long. It's like, okay, you fucking, fuck you. Don't do long intros. But then somebody else said, I was showing this podcast to my brother and saying it was really funny. And we were listening to it. And about 7-8 minutes in, he was like, when does the funny stuff start?
Right.
You know? And she's like, it's just something to think about. And that was you're absolutely right. I should think in terms like that. But she could lose her message by going, hey, fuck nut.
Right.
Yeah.
Shorter intros.
Exactly. Yeah.
That just makes me think, I got to make these more funny. That's all.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly right. We'll have, I love when people have conversations about it. Because, look, we didn't love that movie Drive.
Yeah.
And we got so much shit over it. But someone asked, well, you didn't like it. Why didn't you like it? We'll sit there and we'll tell you all day long.
About why?
And there are movies that I love that I guarantee you guys probably fucking hate at times.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you're a moron. This means let's talk about
some
it.
Some of it's also the mood you're in. You guys are aware of that, right? The mood you're in, the person you're with can affect.
Absolutely.
Or the person you're not with, the person that nobody wanted to bring to the theater, but that's there talking in the front row, and that'll really...
I saw Trainspotting. I told Tripoli. I was going to watch Jackass 3 in San Francisco, and he was coming. I was like, Trip, I'm telling you right now, I'm looking forward to this movie.
He's a cell phone guy?
He's always on his cell phone. Always.
I hate cell phones.
Which is why when he doesn't return a text, you're I know you're on your cell phone the whole time.
Right.
So it's not like you can say you put it away. So I'm like, don't... And to his benefit, to his credit, I saw him get up and walk all the way to the back corner and then use his cell phone. I was like, all right, that's good.
Well, you know, the thing
especially for a guy like Tripoli, he's got that
turn mind. It off for
it's
2 hours.
It's the worst. And that's why I love those Alamo theaters, wherever they have the
Alamo Draft vibrate.
House. Alamo Draft House now, you cannot. It will kick you out of the theater if you put.
Sure, it's ruining for other people. Yeah. And they also have these ones at ArcLight. I've heard in the back they have a tweeting section.
Really? So
you can live tweet a movie, and everyone in the back there is on their cell phones.
Cool. As long as you know that it's
keep it in the back, so no one else has to be. So
it's nice.
Hopefully, you won't hear a lot of.
It's like those smoking sections in the airport when you just walk by and you just see, you just look in, God, and it's like, wow, is there a person in there?
It's dark in there.
Yeah.
I used to go to the smoking sections.
Yeah, you don't even need to bring a cigarette. Just walk in and breathe in.
Absolutely,
just inhale.
They got rid of those now.
Yeah. Oh, really? They don't have anyone?
Almost never. Wow. Almost nowhere. Maybe Minnesota, they might have one still.
Yeah.
The LAX one. And here's the weird thing. Maybe in a few places. But the LAX one, where I think it was Northwest area. Not North. Is that an airline?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that area in Alaska, it's just a public gardens now. But you can't. I don't even know if you can walk out there, but it's no smoking.
Wow. I love that you can't smoke anywhere.
I mean, that's when I first came out to LA. I remember it was
should be illegal.
It was Dublin's at the time, and I remember when I first got here, and they just had started no smoking there inside.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So I remember being outside, this fucking LA place is awesome.
You can smoke it's great
inside
yeah.
the bars, and now it's everywhere.
I was in Dallas a couple weeks ago at the Buffalo Wild Wings at the bar. You can still smoke. People lighting up and smoking.
Why?
And I'm like, oh, why? Yeah. Oh, who lives like this still?
Yeah.
Stop
Plus your
it.
Clothes all stink.
You're making
That's
my clothes
problem.
Stink.
Everyone that ever got lung cancer got it on an airplane.
I don't even mind, I don't mind people smoking. It's just my clothes stink. That's all.
Yeah.
Even when I smoked, I didn't want to be at a bar where I was smoking.
I just don't know how to wash a leather jacket.
You just got to leave it outside for 2 days.
Yeah.
Here's what I was going to say. It was Ron Bennington. And somebody called him and goes, you guys haven't been funny yet all day. And his answer was, so... It's such a great honest answer. I don't have to do that for you.
Right.
Then what? Or someone's like, well, that's offensive. So, okay.
Turn it off.
Yeah. What do you want? So it is something. Right. That doesn't mean anything.
That's great.
So wait, how have you been doing this movie review stuff since before you met your wife?
Right as it started.
Okay. So I'll ask Ellis
current then. TV.
Yeah.
Have you got laid at all off? Someone recognizing you from or doing almost all the groundwork
already done by recognizing
I have had a couple dalliances.
Dalliance?
Yeah.
What's a dalliance?
Because I'm not going to...
Let me look at that word.
I'm not going to hook up. I'm not going to sleep with a girl just because she liked the show. Or just because she likes me on the show. Like, I'll do anything else you want to do, but I'm not gonna sleep with you. Because here's the thing about groupies. Any groupie is a little crazy anyway, right? Mm-hmm. And then if they're a groupie of an internet show, that's like internet dating when you already can certify that they're kind of a little crazy.
That was what was already on my desk.
What did you pull up, Ari?
I just whatever my last
okay, Ari. I want everybody to know is on here is not a down. That is textbook reverse cowgirl.
I had it loaded up to porn. I just opened up a browser so I could check my dalliance, man.
Good browser. Yeah.
And that was it.
Dalliance.
It's slow in here. There's no reception in the comedy store.
The reverse cowgirl.
Yeah, a romantic dalliance.
Wait, you won't sleep with them if they... If that's all they like.
This is a full hour.
It's got to be more. It's got to be more than just, oh, I like schmoes. No.
Yeah, but it never is just that. They just get to meet you off that.
Yeah, that's how they meet. Then if it goes somewhere else, then
but also,
fine,
the schmoes know you're being yourself on that, so they get to know you as you.
That's why it's so easy. It really spoils you in most other lines of work, is that you just get to be, same with stand-ups. Like, you get to be exactly who you are, so you never have to, like, put on a face.
Yeah.
It's fucking
That's
great.
Become my problem with girls. I don't get a tremendous amount, but I get enough where it's like, I'm not going to do hard work with another girl. Because I get enough people to be like, hey, next time you're in fucking Minnesota, let's do it.
Unless you're trying to get married or something.
Yeah.
Oh, if I'm doing that.
Yeah. Well, that'll happen eventually. Who knows?
I guess so.
Again.
Yeah.
I was right. We're here. Actually on the stage
where
you got married.
I got married. This is the exact spot.
Mike Black officiated the wedding, yeah.
I was standing on the site. There was a deli tray in the back.
Next time you get married?
Were you there? Did you go to it?
I was around. I can't remember if I actually came up for it or not.
I thought it was a gig. I thought it was like a shtick.
No, we got married in the building.
I know.
I got the invite. I think Ari should get married in the original room for the second time, and then the third time in the main room. Like, that'll be the big one. Like,
That's the big room that you want to play.
Like, this is serious.
Yeah. And then Ari can keep half the door that he makes in the main room.
Well, Ari, let me ask you something as far as movies go then this year. You've probably seen a couple. What was your favorite movie then of 2012?
I liked Argo. Okay. But here's what I thought about Argo.
Yeah.
In a time where movies should just be good, should always be like hold together, that was like a B+ movie.
Okay.
But because there's nothing out there like that, that's just good the whole way, that I'm like, oh, it was amazing. But I'm like, this is just a passable good movie.
What about
Django Unchained a lot.
Okay. So all Oscar movies. Huh? What about anything you saw early in the year? Anything?
I'm trying to think what I saw. Pot has really ruined my
memory.
Did
you see any comedies? Did you see Ted?
Didn't see Ted.
21 Jump Street.
Didn't see that, although that one looked worth seeing.
That one was actually pretty funny.
Surprising,
Comedies have really let me down more than the other
movies. They normally do, and I think that...
Hangover, I haven't seen a movie that's held together as a comedy. Yeah.
It's hard, man. I mean, look at the number one movie, and it's depressing. This past weekend was A Haunted House. Yeah, it's that Marlon Wayne's spoof movie on all the horror films, and it's like that's the kind of
where are the good movies? Even like Black Sheep and Happy Gilmore and Billy Madison's. Where are those movies?
Well, you need that kind of star right now. You don't really have that guy right now.
Will Ferrell has not made a good movie in a while.
You go back to you're right. The Hangover. You know what? Ted was really funny.
Was it?
Yeah. Ted was really funny.
Yeah. And not that. Not and
Dalliance, a casual romantic sexual experience.
Yeah.
What was your
Sexual experience?
Casual romantic or sexual.
Yeah, that's like a casual. Yeah,
you've had a couple.
It's not like hardcore. Yeah, I've had a couple like that. Like if you go to movies, it's like an FDR hand job in a car in the middle of the field.
Bill Murray played FDR.
What was that?
And it was what the hell?
In the movie?
Hyde Park on Hudson. Yeah.
He's fine.
Is that out now?
Is that the one that just came out? He got nominated for a Golden Globe too. But they take such liberties. And when I say liberties, I mean like literally like his second cousin giving him a hand job in a field.
Really?
That's a president.
Well, maybe it may be true, it may not be, but they garnered this movie from these journals of this cousin, and it's like he was a fucking
person. Why not have her do reverse cowgirl then? Why do
I like Zombieland. I thought that was cool.
That was years ago.
Yeah, but I liked it.
Okay. Well, so that director just did Gangster Squad. No thanks.
Oh.
Yeah. Gangster Squad, yeah. You
did you guys see it?
Yeah.
You can miss that one.
I remember before you guys had, it was a brief period in your thing where you had money coming in from whoever was paying you enough to pay for popcorn and a movie for the guys who would guest review the movie.
Yeah. That was when we started on Current TV.
Okay.
And then before we had our YouTube channel. It wasn't even Schmoes back then.
And now you see all these screeners.
It's all media. Because of Fandango and Movies.com, we don't really have to deal with cell phones anymore because all the critics know to
turn them off.
Phones away.
Yeah.
So. What are screenings like?
Quiet. It's great.
Do people take notes?
Some people do.
Some take notes, and it annoys the hell out of me because you'll hear a pen click or something like that. But you just become – I'm so sensitive to anything now. Yeah. And I'm a little anal when it comes to people making noise in movies. I sat next to a buddy of mine a couple weeks ago, and Darth he was Vader. Breathing. His breathing, it was like
– throwing you off?
Yeah, it was all through the nose. It's like get some vapor up. Use your open your mouth.
I feel bad about opening candy and stuff during it, or when but that's it's really crunkly.
You go in hard. People try to go soft, just hard and quick.
Just do it immediately. Yeah. But even when you got to go back in for more of those things, you have to crunkle. Like
nachos make that sound too.
Like, you have to time your crunch. When you watch a movie, get into the rhythm of the movie. Don't eat a lot of popcorn during a silent part. Mm-hmm. When then they get into a car and they start driving.
Yeah, you'd be like, you had me at. It's like, no, come on, just wait one more word.
See, I'll bring a full burrito into the fucking.
Whoa! In Israel, I used to get baguettes. They have baguettes where they can put hummus and tahina and fucking ketchup and hot sauce and deli meats, like three or four different types of deli meats. That's and great. Scallions.
At
and
a movie theater,
you would pull it out. During it, and it would just stink up like 10 rows in every direction.
Ugh.
Yeah, well, burritos, if it smells good, I don't
care. Is popcorn and butter and all that stuff kosher?
Kosher butter, yeah, sure.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, kosher milk.
Yeah.
I will tell you this. I saw Trainspotting with my eventual roommate, Aaron Levine.
Love the old school movies.
And his movie, and I did a report on it in college, so I had to see it a few times. But I saw it in the theaters, and I saw him checking his watch with a light on his watch, his pre-cell phones.
Oh, yeah.
Like early on, like 10, 15 minutes in.
The Indiglo light.
Mm-hmm. Indiglo, yeah. And then I saw him turn over to the girl. Like it was me, then Aaron to my right, and his friend, this chick, to his right. And I see him turn and whisper to her or something. Like they were like annoyed. And then they turned to me like, hey, do you just want to stay for this? And I was loving it. I was loving this movie. I was oh, my God, this is so dark and interesting. Yeah. And I was just like, yeah, let's go right now. Let's go. We should absolutely leave right now. It was 20 minutes in the movie, and I was like, I can watch this again and actually get the experience.
That's a great play. Yeah. You take points off the board, but you know it ended up working.
But I was like, I want to enjoy this.
You knew that you were going to like it coming back.
Yeah.
It was fine. You know,
and then I had this, what?
No, it was just, go ahead.
I just remember this other movie now. What, you ever see Happiness?
No.
Oh with Will Smith?
No.
No, it's Pursuit of Happiness.
That's Pursuit of Happiness.
Happiness was Todd Solondz. It was his follow-up to Welcome to the Dollhouse.
Oh, somebody, it was you or somebody else was here telling me about that, and they're like, everybody needs to see this movie.
It was amazing.
Jeff Garlin, I think, was telling me.
Yeah.
That it's like the greatest, that you have to Netflix it.
It was just a great, it's Todd Solondz, just his idea of not belonging, and you could see him, when you see a picture of him, you're like, oh, you're a nerd, doesn't belong. And just this, it was just so real and whatever. And the girl I was with, she just felt too much. She let emotions come in too hard.
Yeah.
Kate Hicks. She's my first girlfriend. She won't talk to me anymore. But
because of that movie?
No. But in general, but she was like, she was raised Christian. She's just a really good person. And she was like, I can't take this anymore. I have to leave. And I was like, oh, and I was looking forward to this movie for so long because I would love Welcome to the Dollhouse. And so I was like, well, I don't. She goes, you can stay. I'll be outside. And I was like, okay.
Wow, it just hit her that
and
hard.
She left for like an hour. I waited inside and watched the fucking movie. And then she was out there. She just walked around in some DC.
Yeah.
And I was like, thank you for not making me leave too. It was a really cool fucking
movie.
But
the relationship was cool after that, and then just something else.
Oh, absolutely.
She's
just, I can't take it. I can't take this.
Oh, interesting. Well, you know, you brought up Trainspotting too, and I was thinking about it. Danny Boyle is one of those guys that's another director.
Mm-hmm.
That they let him do his own thing, and he delivers when they let him do his own thing.
Yeah.
He's oddly
Latin.
But he might not make major money for them.
True.
They might have to appreciate him on a Chuck Taylor level, where it's like, you'll make some money for us.
Well, he did 127 hours, and then he did the one right before that. Did he do
Slumdog Millionaire, right?
Slumdog Millionaire, which is good as well.
Yeah.
And then you got also Darren Aronofsky is another one who did The Wrestler, and he was supposed to do the Wolverine movie, which would have been interesting to see a guy like that transition into a big studio film, because he did Black Swan, but still not the
Black Swan was pretty great.
Great movie.
Now, did Darren Aronofsky do Big Fan, or that wasn't him? That was just by the writer?
That was just the writer.
Yeah. That wasn't as good. I saw one of those at one of those movie theaters in Austin, one of those like sit down, get a couch, get a pizza and beer.
Oh, The Wrestler?
No, Big Fan.
Oh, Big Fan. Oh,
that's a good experience, though.
Yeah, Big Fan. Theaters. Did you like Big Fan?
No, not nearly as much as the rest.
Yeah, I was initially against the theaters that had beers. I'm like, oh, now it's going to be like a frat house. But when you think about it, and you're in a dark room watching a movie, you have a couple beers, it really relaxes you, and people are less prone.
And no one's talking in the first place. At a bar, people talk, and then you get talk louder.
But you do get that asshole that drinks so much and thinks, well, I'm drinking beer. I can do whatever I want. I can scream in the theater.
I've been in a couple. I've never had that experience because just the depressant effects of alcohol kind of – it kind of sit in, and everybody's just kind of relaxed. And well, plus, like the normal assholes, they're going to go to like a Buffalo Wild Wings to drink. They're not going to go pay another $20
a bunch of extra money.
See,
yeah,
go see Anna Karenina.
Yeah, exactly.
Look at these broads taking their shirts off.
So wait, tell me more about these screenings.
Yeah, I mean the way
do you recognize guys from there
now? Yeah, we Leonard Maltin.
Like a high school.
Leonard Maltin's
there. You see the groups. You see.
Does everyone talk outside of what they thought and stuff?
Sometimes. I mean, just like anything else. Just like we have said, it's very similar to comedy clubs in the fact that there's the cliques. Around.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I'll be honest with you. It's like the fucking Beatles when they came to the United States. There's just hot girls. They have signs that say schmoes everywhere. Yeah. Walking into the Grove, just police escort.
Flashing their,
Where are these screeners usually? Arclight?
Grove, Arclight. One tonight is at the Adacoff Theater, which is a smaller one. It's on
Some are at studios. Some are at smaller screening rooms in buildings. And then other ones are like at actual movie theaters. Yeah. And I love those for big budget. Like for the Avengers, I love that we saw.
You'd have to see it there.
We saw the Avengers at Arclight, and I loved it because I could buy myself a big tub of popcorn.
Right.
And do they pay for your parking and stuff?
Yeah. They validate and stuff too. Yeah, sure.
And sometimes they give you free popcorn and soda, which is
certain
always
studios
nice.
Are better than the others.
Because if it's a high budget studio, they like they want you to have the best experience possible. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes
they don't want you coming in with some loser.
Yeah. Right. And sometimes they know that they want you to enjoy the movie. Like I can't remember which one it was, but there's like the voucher where you get free concessions and you could order whatever the hell you wanted to. And it was the screenings are very different from us for what we used to do. Because now Fandango and movies.com, we can get into anything. Like when we first started out, because we've been on the Corolla podcast a few times, that's how we initially, I emailed the studio and was like, oh, you can hear us here, blah, 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 blah. And they were like, okay, you guys can check out a couple screenings here. And it took a while.
So you could fully get in.
Yeah. And then like Sony was tough.
They said no, they have their people.
It was from the movie Battle LA or whatever it was. Yeah. I remember contacting the studio like, oh, we'll let you know. And then once we got into, once Fandango hired us and movies.com,
then they needed you.
Yeah, and they needed us,
Because I could see them limiting the amount of, not like giving up saying, who are these guys going to review our movie? What if they just shit on every movie?
You still get that feel sometimes, especially when you pull up to a studio lot. Like you go to Fox or Warner Brothers and you're pulling onto the lot. They have a security guard and you're like, hey, the name's Ellis. And you're like, it should be on there. You still get a little nervous because you just have that underdog trying to get into a bar and you have no hot chicks with you kind of feel.
That's what I had to do when I had to go to Fox after Renazisi's thing to pick up my car. And you had to fucking call on every favor. Yeah.
Yeah.
Madonia drove us. I thought it was Madonia.
And
Madonia
Christian
drove us.
Got us on the list at Fox.
Yeah. We sat there in the...
Yeah, because Ari and I went to the premiere of the league. Steve Renazzisi, our buddies in the league. And it was season one. No, season one. Okay. It was season one, and it was on the Fox lot. Then they had the screening.
Food,
and then we went to the commissary afterwards. And no, it was the Taste of America. They had a New York section, the Chicago section.
Really?
They had all these different things. So Ari and I were doing laps, getting hammered, eating hot dogs.
Oh, open bar, too.
And we got too drunk to drive our cars home, which were in the studio lot.
And then Steve said, come with us in the limo. We're going to go straight up to what's it called? To Chateau Marmont. I could fucking take a cab home from there. Walk over from there.
Yeah.
So it's fine. Yeah, we had to go back the next day to get our cars.
We woke up at 5. We call whoever's working the phones. Dan Madonia's working the phones at the Comedy Store. And he's like, well, I can't. I got to work the phones. We're like, this is more important. Come pick us up and take us to our
Didn't we buy him breakfast for that first?
Yeah, we went to Norm's or something.
No, we went to that place that closed down, Jinkies. It's now the...
Jinkies.
There's one in the valley still. Yeah, and then we went to the lot, and they're like, you're not on the list.
Yeah, and I'm like, no, my car is in there. Just let me go, and then I'll call. And then so we had to pull in the middle parking spot where there's no one.
I was like, nope.
And then we called Christian, and,
Well, the funny thing, we were talking about Leonard Maltin before, too. First, one of the first press screenings we went to, I go, hey, look, it's Leonard Maltin. I go, we shouldn't be here right now.
He looks like such a dweeb. That's the guy with the big hair and the glasses.
Yeah, he is. But the thing is, he's like Yoda to these people.
Oh, yeah, I bet. Yeah,
like, so it's
a very crazy. Nice human being, too.
Yeah, he was really nice.
Yeah, hold on 1 second.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Delicious things to eat.
The popcorn can't be beat. The sparkling drinks are just dandy. The chocolate bars and the candy. So let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Okay, we keep going. It's fine. Did you ever get somebody walking out? I heard about this about Clerks, too. Yeah. And it might have been Leonard Maltin. But no, it probably wasn't. It's one of the reviewers.
Oh, I think Ebert hated Clerks, too. And he did. What did he do?
Stood up. Someone stood up, went to the back,
and said it was for Clerks too. Though I remember Kevin Smith reacting to it. But maybe Brown Bunny. Maybe he hated Brown Bunny.
I know he hated Brown
Going
Bunny.
To the back and sit, before he left, saying, "This is the worst movie I've ever seen."
Wow.
As he walked
that was
out,
Ebert. I'm pretty sure that was Ebert
ruining the movie for everyone else and imposing his view. Like
that's, but that's exactly what we're talking
that's
about.
Shitty
before.
Behavior.
Yeah, that's shitty behavior, and that's what sometimes I think, especially when you get to his stature, you start to buy into your own shit because it's like there's just no, there's nothing that says that's okay,
right?
Nothing. Like I don't
if
even
want to be indignant and make sure everyone else knows. Just be indignant and leave. Same as a comic.
Right?
Shows.
I'll read.
You
that's
can hate
what your
this.
Columns.
Just
for.
Go away.
We'll read it in your column. You fat load. Yeah,
that's what it's for.
Yeah.
To be honest, I hate when we're walking out of screenings and people start talking about how they felt. I'm like, just keep it down until we're in the car. Like I just
why because you don't want to like have to. Like,
I just don't
want
to have to get into a conversation with somebody else about it. Or it's like this is I want to process the movie.
Yeah,
by
sometimes
myself.
You need time to process. When people say, "What'd you think?" It's like
unless it's horrendous. Or sometimes
a second.
You know, or
we've walked out one time and it was just hard for me, and I had to, and I was like, I was terrible.
That's
terrible.
That's what dinner at a movie as a date should be. It's the dinner first, the movie first, and then dinner, discussion. And you talk about the movie, or go on walks and talk about it.
And then you have a dalliance.
Fuck.
And have a dalliance. Have
a dalliance. A brief.
A reverse cowgirl dalliance.
It's a brief sexual encounter.
Casual, romantic, or sexual relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's any one of those.
Romantic dalliance. Summer love.
It could also be a brief encounter with
on
anything.
Your
this week on the Schmoes No Podcast,
Mark finds a romantic dalliance with a fan.
They're bringing. I would love to interview all those dalliances.
That should be a podcast one week.
If you're a dalliance of Mark Ellis is listening, please call in.
Where's the screening today that you're going to?
The Adakoff. It's like a smaller theater on Rodeo Drive. It's like a little small.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's pretty
cool.
What are you going to see today?
What do we? John
dies,
at the
end. Of the world. Is called.
No, just John dies at the end.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
How much in advance do they give you guys, do they let you guys screen it?
It depends. Like, there's certain smaller movies like this, sometimes you could see 2-3 weeks. This one actually is on video on demand as well, too, but it's a smaller thing, so the studios want to really get it out there in general.
Yeah,
so.
Big movies are like the Monday or the Tuesday before they come out that
sometimes
Friday,
you get 2 weeks.
Usually. Sometimes you get 2 weeks. Like, with the Avengers and a big movie that they know is probably going to hit pretty hard and that people are going to like it, they'll have a lot of screenings, like, weeks in advance.
Right.
And the ones that they're afraid, do they ever do
sometimes
this not allowed? Screenings because they're like,
it's
we know
hysterical.
This is shitty.
They will have screenings on Thursday at 5 p.m. Before the Friday it opens.
To make sure you get to go through rush hour if you want to get this, like, fuck those people. They're not going to want
to come. Like Texas Chainsaw 3D, they didn't screen.
Because they know it's a
horrendous.
Pile of shit.
They know. They don't need that. They don't want to have the critics. They know that's going to do well. They don't want to have the critics do anything.
It can't just be just because it came out bad. I mean, I've written jokes about things and they don't come out good and you're like, oh, well.
It's so bad, dude. That movie's so bad.
They must know going in.
Yeah,
to some of these movies, this is a pile of shit.
Right,
just, we're putting money towards this just to make money and steal from people.
Yeah, but you could write a joke that you know is bad and is hacky, but it's gonna it's gonna hit and it's gonna hit and it's gonna get a laugh, and you know that you can't build on it at all. It's just like a one off dick joke. It's not a great story that has tons of laughs. Texas Chainsaw is a movie that you make to get opening weekend money.
Yeah,
and
it's a
that's
dick joke that goes on for an hour set.
Hangover 2 was like that. Hangover 2 was so bad that I'm like, you must have known
so
this is
bad.
Shitty while you guys are making it. You must have known this is bad while you were doing it.
Do you think they do those sometimes? Like, here's the thing. No, I think
they didn't have the funny lines.
I agree with you, but I think sometimes they do. But think about it also when these guys are so close at that point, including Todd Phillips and all those guys too, and they're probably just getting fucked up wherever they're doing and having a
they took an excuse to party and fucking the Orient for 3 months.
But think about when they were shooting, they probably thought it was really funny. They probably were making themselves each other laugh.
Even if it's like, we got that, we're going to be able to fix this. It's like when you're doing Man on the Street stuff. It's you work really hard for 2 hours and you get 2 minutes of really funny stuff. Yeah. They're like, I'm sure we're going to get some semblance of a good movie here, and it just doesn't work out.
I think there's some of that, but I think it looked like an outtakes of the first Hangover, like them all having fun on set. That's what it looked like.
Yeah,
look at us all have fun on set.
Ocean's 12. What they did with
it's just them celebrating. They have a lot of those celebration movies.
Yeah.
You know, like, remember the end of Jackass 3D,
mm-hmm.
Where it shows that Weezer song, and then it shows them all growing up, having kids, looking at them look way young in Jackass 1 and the TV show. Like, that was nice, but that's an end of a trilogy kind of thing.
It's not the whole movie.
And it's not the whole movie, in the credits at the end.
Hangover
It's just like, you guys are all having fun.
Which
is great, but
that goes to
you
answer
stole
question,
my money.
But that goes to answer your question as far as, do they know? Probably not, because they were having fun.
I wonder, because I think I read an interview, and by that I mean I read a headline of an interview with Zach or something like an interview. It said, like, how was it working on a piece of shit and knowing it while you're doing
really?
It? And I don't know till later, but I'm assuming it was about that movie.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, that's the one thing. I don't like Shia LaBeouf at all, but, like, the thing...
LaBeouf.
I won't call him by his real name. But, like, he...
No idea why.
What's LaBeouf? Is that his fake name, or is that just
what you call him
to mean him?
It's just
father
it's just
comes
easy.
In here for open mic night.
I heard he rocks.
Well, Shia LaBeouf was in here, fucking tanked, with his shorts on the other day. Surprised. It was hilarious when we'll get to you.
And everything too?
No, he came in with shorts and a t-shirt in fucking this kind of cold weather, and he went to the back.
His dad or him?
Him.
Okay.
He walked from the main room into the kitchen, into the bar, like right ahead of me. And he's like, "Hey, can I get a drink?" And then one of the new waiters looked at me. He's like, "Is this guy with you?" I'm like, "No, get him the fuck out." I didn't know who it was, right. But I was like, "Get him the fuck out!" Like, it's not me at all. It's just I'm drunk. And then he was like, "Somebody, I think Ham Hawk or one of the girls, was like, oh." You're that guy from Transformers.
Oh, okay.
And he was like, his face lit up because he knew he was going to get a drink now.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was like, I'm like, he still can't be here.
Right,
this is still a fucking back bar.
There's a code. Nobody
gets in the
kitchen.
We have waitresses. Just do your job out there and he'll get a drink.
Such an asshole. But so the one thing I will say about him, as much as I'm not a fan of his at all.
Why don't you like him?
He's a cock. I met him a few times, and he thinks he's cool and shit. And sometimes he shoots his.
Cool.
I'm actually going to talk about how I did like how he shot out his mouth off once, but he talks about how he fucked Megan Fox and why she was married. All this.
He boned Megan Fox.
Yeah, but all this shit that he talks like he just talks a lot of shit. But then what he did was that he called Michael Bay out on his shit and pretty much admitted that both Transformers were shitty and Indiana Jones 4 were shitty.
Really?
Yeah, and so I mean that kind
it
of
was.
Stuff.
Both
that,
of them were.
That's I respected it also at the same time. It's like, shut your mouth, stupid, as Spielberg. But at the same time, you respected he called it out that it was what it was.
But it's also like, don't take the job then. How about that?
Right. That's the thing. That's
if you really want to take a stand, just say no.
It's tough, though. When you see a Transformers movie, like, Spielberg trust us, when we do the action, it's going to be amazing.
Right.
And you're like, okay, I'll be in your action movie. And then you realize the action is like, I can't tell who's fighting who. Who's fighting whom?
Whatever. There you go.
Nobody cared in that movie, and you shouldn't care.
Yeah.
The thing is,
and then the girl with the dress.
The dress.
There was some girl in a bright blue dress when there's mayhem and all the soda machines are turning into whatever.
She's getting into the head of one of the bad ones. She's calling him a punk.
No. The complete mayhem. All the fucking vending machines are turning into robots. Everything's happening.
Right.
Stuff's being destroyed.
That key thing or whatever. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
They just have a long shot, like a 5-second shot of some hot girl in a bright green or bright blue dress.
Right.
And they're like, wait,
what's Michael Bay?
Who's this girl?
It's a music video.
Just some hot chick.
That's what Michael Bay does.
He looks out of place.
Now, his new movie, by the way, though, he's going back to what... you're like, okay, that's a Michael Bay movie. I understand. It looks more like Bad Boys.
Uh-huh.
Like
Bad Boys is fun.
It's Mark Wahlberg, The Rock, and who's the third? Oh, and the dude from Anthony Mackie.
Oh, yeah, from,
So they,
you don't have to have a great story. Just have one that holds it together.
And if it's fun. And sometimes
it's like a bodybuilding movie where they want to, like, uncover a scheme. But the thing with Bad Boys is that nobody grew, there wasn't a legion of fans that grew up loving those guys as a kid. Like what Transformers was. That was our childhood.
But how about what he was going to do?
Bad Boys is a fun cop movie.
How about what he was going to do to Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Oh,
remake that?
Yeah. Oh, so
make an action movie out of it?
No. He was going to do a live action version of it, of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And then as he's doing this thing, his little cocky thing. He's like, well, the thing is...
He's announcing this to a theater
panel.
Full of fans.
Yeah, and he's like, okay, so the thing is, you know, with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, you got to make these aliens. And he's talking about, as aliens. They're not fucking aliens. They're mutants. And the internet went crazy because he was going to turn them into aliens from a different planet. And then you haven't heard anything about it since the whole internet went nuts.
Because he stopped making it?
He's not going forward. People gave him a lot of shit for wanting to... He just fucks with stuff. And again, a lot of people will say, well, it's Transformers, man. What do you expect? The effects were good. You can't get a good story. I don't agree with that. I think you could have gotten a great story out of it because the 1987 cartoon.
Yeah. Cartoon movie?
Yeah. Transformers is
a good story.
Incredible. And a great story. And they could have done something with that kind of emotion. I think a better director could have done the... And again, going back to your point, Mark, that you could have done that movie with a better director and made just as much money that these did, if not more.
Yeah.
But he knows explosions really well.
Yeah.
That's a weird thing, though. If he knows action scenes so well or like explosions and stuff like that, how can he not tell that you can't tell the robots apart when they're fighting?
He doesn't care. Because that's it. We had...
It's just so much stuff on screen. Yeah. It's just more, more, more. It's
Catherine Reitman was on our show. Jason Reitman's sister was on our show. And she was talking about how Jason Reitman was on set for Michael Bay's movie. And Jason started giving Michael Bay pointers. Like, why don't you just do this? He's like, Jason, listen. People go to see your movies for the story. People don't do that for me. No one cares. And he doesn't care about the story. He does it for the explosion.
But the weird thing is, they don't go to see Michael Bay movies for Michael Bay.
Exactly.
They go see it because of the movie. Like Transformers. And then who did it? Oh, Michael Bay did it.
Yeah. He thinks that they do.
They're not going to see Michael Bay movies.
Right. He thinks that they do.
He just puts out action movies.
I could direct the next Transformers movie, and if you give me a lot of effects and a cool trailer, then it's like Mark Ellis does Transformers. Like, yeah, I'll go see it.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It'd be fine.
Yeah. None of those robots are going to get laid.
Transformers 4 now is.
They're going to get to third base, and that's it.
That's what's going to happen in the Mark Ellis version of it.
Mark Wahlberg in number 4.
Bunch of blue balls.
Yeah.
Mark Wahlberg what?
Is in Transformers 4.
Why are they still making those? I was done after
money.
One.
Money.
Done after one.
Money. The answer to every
have
question
they gotten better?
Why.
Mm-hmm. No. They've gotten.
No.
Two was the worst one.
Two was terrible. Three was better.
So one was bad. Two was worse. And then people went to see three.
I thought three was.
See, I didn't. Three to me, there was too much ridiculous comedy that threw me out of it. But the end, I thought was. He hated the end. I actually thought the end was okay.
Because the end was special effects and you can't tell who's fighting.
Yeah, and they cut the comedy out completely. Like, John Malkovich is in the third one, and it is so insanely retarded, like, to where they
you know what I don't like for big budget movies like that too, when they have mass destruction scenes happen like this in Avengers too. Nobody really dies in terms of like civilians in the street. Like, if you're having an all-out war in New York City, you will have at least 50,000 deaths.
But then you go to PG-13 or rated R.
I guess so, but they're all like, oh, that crash almost got he's good, he's good. The buildings are blowing up, but everyone's out of the way.
Right. Yeah, it happened. I mean, that's, again, I would
go. If one of those gargoyles that are on top of big buildings in New York falls,
you're dead.
Someone's going to die under that.
Right. That's just
only way to look at the
Avengers. Like realistic. I don't mind the idea that there can be a Hulk.
Right.
But based on the idea there's a Hulk in existence, he should kill people.
And how did Django kill that horse?
It's fun. This is why movies are cool. Yeah. It's so that you can have these discussions afterwards. This is why I like doing our show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you got to come back on the podcast too, you creep.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Soon.
Come back on the podcast. We'll actually send you to a movie.
Yeah.
That you've seen.
Review a movie.
Well, that's the thing, that you can come see anything that you want with us now too.
Oh, you can do it at the screeners?
Yeah. We can get guests.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm just trying to think what I'm looking forward to. Maybe I'll look at movies that might be coming out. Here's the deal too. Since I gave up my cable, I just download all my TV.
Yeah.
I don't know what movies are coming out.
Just go to YouTube and go to like Hollywood Streams or something and look at all the trailers that are coming out.
But I don't like seeing the trailers. It sort of ruins it for you.
Just look at the names of the movie.
That's one of the biggest problems, I think, now, as going back to your question as far as like years ago. The trailers are so big now, and because of YouTube and everything, that's where they put the trailers.
Gives away a lot of
plot. Give away a lot of shit. Like, going back to the Avengers, there's a shot in the Avengers where the Hulk grabs Iron Man and rescues him. And that's like, you don't need to show that in the trailer. There's no reason to show that. It's such a big moment. And it's like, I'm still going to see the movie, whether or not you show me the Hulk.
We're already paying our money to see the Avengers.
Like, sometimes they ruin it. What I
talked about Doug Benson, when they have stuff in the movie going, you thought I was dead, didn't you?
You're like, what?
Well, I know that guy's not going to be really dead.
Right. And that's the type of stuff, like, sometimes they've been doing, I can't give a specific example right now, but like, they have these trailers that come out that aren't really exactly about the movie, and they mislead you a little bit. I like that.
Yeah, that's okay.
Because
The Village? That was a pretty bad example.
But the movie sucks.
Yeah.
But the movie sucks. There's nothing they could have done with that trailer, though. The trailer, because if they would have pitched what the movie really was,
would have been ruining the review.
They'll show you like main characters and stuff throughout the trailer. Yeah. So then you see someone early on, they'll do this device a lot where, let's say, Harloff, you're trying to get a job as a new cop, and me and Ellis are like, no, you're not cut out for this. But I've already seen that you're in the trailers all the way through.
Right.
So obviously you're going to get the job.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, things like that, where it's like you're ruining an opening scene.
And that's the way. But that's also how this works, is that you have to go to a company that's cutting your trailer, and it's a director, and it's this company that is cutting the trailer, and you got to get the good. You know,
probably do it the right way. The director should have some say. Like, no. Yeah. That gives away way too much.
I think teaser trailers should be trailers. Like, teaser trailers are ones where it's like 30 seconds and it just shows like a logo or something.
You know, I saw a
those
great,
should be trailers.
I saw a great trailer, and it wasn't even for a movie, but it was for a UFC fight. But it was for the second Chael Sonnen Anderson Silva fight. The first one was amazing because it's the underdog fucking dominated. It's probably the best fighter ever.
Yeah.
For 4.5 rounds. You don't watch MMA, do you?
No.
Okay, but... and then the guy, the fucking champion, out of nowhere, with 30 seconds left, pulled the triangle out and fucking stopped this guy.
I lost a lot of money on that.
Wow. Lost 4.5 rounds, won 20 seconds, and finished it off.
Yeah.
And it was so amazing. No one could wrap their heads around it. In the trailer, it just shows some of the fights. Round one, it shows Anderson Silva getting beat up. Round two. And then in between the rounds, it says, "We are not hyping this up." and it's round three, and it shows him getting beaten up. This is what happened, you know? And it doesn't, it wouldn't give away what's going to happen, because you can't, because it didn't happen yet, but, like, it just gave hype for it.
Yeah.
If you just showed, fucking Captain America, and then showed the Hulk, and just showed this, you can give away nothing.
And that's what they should have done for the Avengers.
Just him jumping and running.
Yeah. Just get me hyped up.
There are certain movies that you have to show somewhat, because no one knows what the hell it is. Like, smaller films, like you really want to build a story, and you want to, so sometimes you kind of have to, but a lot of these big budget ones just kind of give it away sometimes. But I know a lot of people, especially, we get comments all the time on our channel that it's like, I don't really watch trailers too much anymore because I don't want to be given away. Like, it's one thing if it's like, oh, I wasn't aware of that movie. Now, because the trailer came out, now I'm aware of it. Now I want to see it. Like, again, the Man of Steel trailer, the most recent one, it's great. It's just a couple. It gives you the tone. And there's two different versions. There's one with Kevin Costner plays his father on Earth, and Russell Crowe plays his father, plays Jor-El.
Oh, wow.
So there's like they have two versions, one with Jor-El's voiceover and one with
With Batman, I wouldn't even want to know that. I didn't want to know they were going back to whatever. Superman, I don't care as much. Batman, the previews would come on and I'd be like, la 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 la.
David Gambino on our podcast made the great point that the Dark Knight Rises trailer, the second one, had the scene where the football field blows up, and that would have been so much more powerful to not know that's going to happen because you know that Bane's going to try to wreck Gotham, but you don't know he's going to do this shit. But everybody in the theater already knew it was coming, and it just doesn't.
You
have
don't need
impact.
And it's the third movie of a trilogy.
They give away funny lines. They give away funny lines and comedies too.
Yep.
And then everyone laughs like extra hard because they've already seen it. And I'm like, I want to be like, stop it.
Yeah.
None of you are impressed by this joke.
Right.
You're laughing because you thought it was supposed to be funny.
Right. Yeah.
You yell at people a lot in movie theaters.
In my head, always in my head.
Just in your head, very good.
I want to see you do it.
Very good. No, you don't. No, yeah, no.
Why?
He's going to go to a screening with us.
Well, not at the screening.
And then he's going to think he has to impress us, and he's going to yell shit.
No, I don't want to ruin people's experience.
Yeah.
They can have their own, but...
You don't want to Ebert it.
No, I would never do that.
Okay.
Especially if I'm on drugs or something. That's my biggest concern.
Right. Yeah. They don't want to get called out on it.
What's it called? That Tim Burton... Alice in Wonderland on mushrooms.
Oh, okay.
And I was...
That was probably fun on mushrooms.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't want to ruin. I don't want anybody ruined by my drug abuse.
Right. Yeah, I understand.
You know,
that's good.
Scream or yell.
Just you.
It's very responsible drug use. I like it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. In general, I just want. It's like hecklers. People leaving a comedy show screaming because it was shitty. It's like, don't ruin everyone else. Just you don't enjoy it. Just leave.
Right. They feel like they have to. Like, oh, well, they need to hear my opinion.
I want everyone to be indignant with me.
People want attention.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what it is. So do you guys have anything? Let's try to wrap it up because you got to do a screening soon, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you have? What are your Twitter addresses?
We're just one. Just go to @schmoesno.
@schmoesno?
Yes. S-C-H-M-O-E-S-K.
Where'd you get that name?
Two average schmoes doing movies. You know, and we figured schmoesno, it worked. We just used
schmoesno.
Schmoesno, right. And people say schmoesno sometimes, but if you think about it, I remember having this conversation with you, the first person that realized, you're like, it just doesn't make sense.
Schmoesno?
Schmoesno. It's grammatically not correct.
Schmoesno,
Schmoesno works, yeah.
Yeah. So it's @schmoesno. And then you can go to toadhopnetwork.com.
But it's all, you have your own feed on iTunes, right?
iTunes as well. And then
every week, once a week?
The podcast is every week, Thursday 8 to 10. Yeah. And then, but the
you can watch live too. That's
cool. Yeah.
You can watch it live and you can listen to it on iTunes afterwards and like comment and rate it and all that good stuff.
But the YouTube, youtube.com/schmoesno, and we're about 38,000 subscribers, looking to hit between 60 to 70 by the end of the year.
Go look at my preview for Jackass 3.
The review for Jackass.
Yeah, watch Ari's Jackass 3 review, laugh at Sam Tripoli's cameo, then hit the subscribe button.
Yep.
So you get more of that cool shit.
Mm-hmm. There you go. And all right, you guys have a website or anything?
Yep, schmoesno.com.
I was going to make him guess. Cool. I was going to make him guess what the website was.
Yeah. I'm going to guess.
Yeah.
Schmoesnos.
Foresttrees2.net.
Yep.
Cut a trailer. Our website's very meta.
We cut a good trailer for it. It's just a tree. Nothing else. It doesn't reveal too much.
That's all it is. Yeah. Click on a branch and it'll just move a little, but it doesn't do anything. It just moves a little. Not too much. All right. Well, thanks, guys.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us, Mr. Shafir, and thanks for bringing up memories of the 1995.
Do you have anything to do you have anything to wrap up in terms of telling people about movies in general or anything? Any last words for them?
I would just say stay away from January. You don't really see between February and April, you get some nice ones, and then summer season.
Yeah, just watch us on the internet until March, and behave yourself in movie theaters. Be like us and Ari. Don't use your cell phone. Try to time your crunches.
Yeah.
Turn it off.
Don't even turn it on.
Vibrate.
Leave it in the car.
If there's someone you're waiting for a call, just say, "Listen, I'm going to see a movie. I'll talk to you in a couple hours."
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Absolutely.
If it's an Apatow movie, probably three.
You can be off the radar for 3 hours. It's fine. That's a normal thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's healthy.
I'm getting too addicted to my phone.
What are you doing?
I'm going to try to take a day a week off.
You know, I hear more people saying they're going to do that, but I don't think
nobody actually does it. Everyone just says they're going to do it.
It's refreshing.
Should be.
You know, it's refreshing. Jerking off on a long flight. That's what I'm trying to do.
That's why you got to load up these things ahead of time. And that way, when you get on the flight with no Wi-Fi, you can go to the bathroom.
Is that a video, a preview for your flight? That reverse cowgirl video?
No, that was just me. I jerk off on my iPhone.
Oh, okay.
That's my normal jerk off.
Cool. You need a kickstand like mine. You know, you have a kickstand.
Yeah, I should get a kickstand because I end up propping up. I get a bunch of I make little podiums for myself.
I don't know how easy they are to clean, Ari. So don't aim at
it. I don't jizz onto it. I don't fucking
jizz
backwards.
You've never hit your phone by accident?
No, I put it closer to my face.
Okay.
So it's in between my dick and my face.
Yeah.
Or off to the side. But I don't fucking jizz upwards. I jizz into a sock like a gentleman.
Not anymore. You just jinxed yourself.
Used it.
That'd be your phone.
Long story. Like a gentleman.
I had a hole
like in my
toe.
Wearing a top hat and a monocle when you're rubbing one out. Just twirling a cane like a gentleman jerking off.
Yeah. Like a gentleman.
You think I'm an animal?
All right, guys. Nice. Thank you.
Thank you, Ari.
Thanks, buddy. Saturday night at the movies. Who guess what picture you see? When you're hugging with your baby, let's roll in the balcony. Well, that's Technicolor and the cinema score. A guest out of Hollywood.
Ooh, well, that's the episode, you guys. How did you like it? What did you think? It's a cool job they have. It really is. I mean, I would love to do that, just go watch movies all day. It's every week. They're watching a few movies and then reviewing them. If you want, I put the episode of that I did for them, the video that was their most watched video ever on Schmoes Know, or at least was for many, many years, for at least a couple years. I put that on there. I also always put on my website, arithegreat.com, I put links to the music that's in there. So if you ever wonder, like somebody last week, really love that Susan Tedeschi song that I did right into the beginning of the episode, right after the intro, I did the Susan Tedeschi song. What is it? Hurt? You Hurt Me? Baby Hurts? Baby It Hurts? I don't know. Really good song. She's a good guitarist and a really... really good soulful song. So anyway, I put links to them all on the website. So, and that's just to drive traffic to my website so that you can help by clicking on Amazon.com. But mostly, so or get my special, Passive Aggressive, for only $4.99. Please help support my comedy. We'll all do more specials if you guys just put five. It's like Starbucks price. That's how much it is. It's a Starbucks for 72 minutes of killer material. People love it. How about just go there right now as you're listening to this? Go to chill.com/Ari or go to my website, arithegreat.com, one or the other, right now, and then click on the banner on top if you're on my website. If you're on chill, if you just want to go to chill.com, then click on the play preview and it'll take you to, you don't have to go chill.com/Ari. You can just go to chill.com. Get my special, get Maria Bamford's special while you're there. Maria Bamford made a special, also $4.99. She recorded hers in front of her parents. Really cool, out there way of thinking. Also, $5. She's a fucking awesome comedian. Get Joe Rogan's special. He's not on chill, but his is also $5. Go to joerogan.net. $5, and you can see all the shit we worked on. And then, oh, here's my stamp that I told you. Instead of fuck some dumb idiot telling you, well, I don't like that joke, or I'm not sure our viewers would like that. How about just the comedian will tell you? They'll tell you what they want to do, and that's what you should do, because they find what they do funniest. Wardrobe people know it. When you do a movie and they put you in wardrobe or a commercial, what a movie? What am I talking about? When you do a commercial and they put you in some outfit, the wardrobe people, they usually ask you, like, is this something you would wear? And if you go, well, maybe, I'd probably wear like a cardigan with it. They're like, get him a cardigan. If it fits for the character at all, because they know, they figured this out, that you have your own sense of style. You develop that over years. And it's you have an innate sense of it. More than they can just looking at you. They'd have to like dress you for 6 months to a year to figure out what really works best on your body. You know, what kind of haircut, what kind of clothes work with your haircut. So you get it. So if that's something you would wear, that's going to look better than something they think you would wear. So they want to get that version of it. If it's a suit, like what kind of suit would Ari wear? What kind of, you know, nice casual would Ari wear? So in stand-up, it's like what kind of would you do for your special? Let you decide.
And that's what you get to do when you release it on your own. So go to chill.com/Ari and fucking get my specials on my way. It's even longer than an hour. If I did some special on a show with commercials, it would be 44 minutes. This is 72. It's not even an hour because I was like, fuck it. Let's just go. Why do we have to stop in an hour? Let's just go longer. That last story I tell goes like 20 plus minutes. In a network, they'd be like, you got to chop that down. We're out of time. You got to chop that down to 10. This is what I know, actually, for Comedy Central. It's not even their fault. They have commercials. So they told me last year, they said, the one thing we can't do is have a story go or anything go over 7 minutes because we got to take a commercial break. So that story that's on my CD, the end, Sydney, Australia, when I shit myself on a bridge in Sydney, Australia, you guys should get the CD. It's pretty good, too. That's a great bit. There's a version of it online. It's called 7 Minute Shit Joke, but it was way better and it was way longer and it ended up being 13 minutes. And they were like, look, we just can't show a 13 minute joke. We got to stop for commercials. So we're not telling you what to cut out, which is great. I love that they did that. They're like, we're not telling you specifically what to cut out, but you got to lose some time. We're not going to tell you this joke is better than that joke or this joke our audience would like better or this is more offensive. They didn't do any of that. Honestly, kudos to them. That girl, Tony, went over it. I really, really appreciated how the way she said that. But they don't say it at all. It's like, no, it's a 13-minute joke. So on chill.com/Ari, if I had done that special for that, you would see, oh, no, you can get it there. They're giving you live copies of the CD. Signed. And vinyl, signed. Copies of it. And I think it's like $15. You get the CD and the special. No shipping costs. And that's it. That's a really good price. We got to raise those prices. So that means it's 10 for the CD, 5 for shipping, and you don't pay anything for the special? Eh, whatever. Anyway, yeah, on the CD, it was fucking 13 and a half minutes because there was no sense of editing. It was just a great story, and you got it all. And that's what comedy on the internet is going to be. And you guys will just get it. So go chill.com/Ari right now. My dates, yeah, I told you so, you're already. Long Island, come out, March 1st and 2nd. Vancouver, March, like, 21st to 23rd. April, I don't know what else my dates are. Hold on 1 second. I'm going to my website to find it. Going to arithegreat.com. And I'm not going to shop because I'm not shopping right now for 2013 tour shirts, by the way. I have shirts out. The next ones are coming very soon. The Blue Octopus. In the meantime, these are the ones being printed. If you ordered shirts, they haven't been printed yet. They're going to be printed next week. So assume they were pre-orders. And then next week, I'm shipping them all out, plus the grinders and all that shit. Tour. And by the way, my website loads slowly right now just because I'm having server issues. But it will load up. It might take like 20 seconds. Governors, the Comedy Mix, 21st to 23rd in Vancouver. Parlor Live. I thought there was other shit in April. I guess not. I guess I'm moving to New York then and maybe shooting that show. Oh, yeah, because San Francisco got canceled and San Diego got canceled. Okay, and then I'm coming back to Winnipeg, Canada. I know you guys love me. I love you guys too. 2010 was my favorite show of the year. I don't like to say the word favorite because it implies that other things have less worth, but 2010, my favorite show of the year was in Winnipeg. It was opening for Joe Rogan. I took a walk by the water. It was in the summer. It was beautiful there. It really was beautiful. Canada in the summer is amazing. It gets so fucking green. I took a walk by the water. I smelled smoke. It smelled so sweet. And I was like, what is that? What are they smoking? Fucking herbs? And I went closer and, oh, it's crack. It's crack cocaine. This is where the homeless people hang out and they're all smoking crack cocaine. Anyway, had an amazing show. It was so much fun for me. Just raucous crowd. So I'll be back. I'll be at a comedy club this time at Rumors in Winnipeg. The first weekend of June, I think. June 6th, 7th, 8th. So come out to that. And then, if anybody has a sublet or knows of an apartment in one of the villages, East or West Village in New York, or possibly in Williamsburg or Dumbo, in Brooklyn, but I think I want to live in Manhattan. Somewhere within like a 30-minute walk of the Comedy Cellar. If anybody knows a full apartment like that, starting in, let's say, mid-April, as late as May, but I'd prefer to start in April. Please let me know. Write to contact at arishafir.com or contact at arithegreat.com. They both get through to me. And write to me and tell me. I'm moving to New York, so I need to find an apartment. I have a couple people helping me, but I get scared because I'm going to be there, you know, for those governor's shows, March 1st and 2nd, but I'm going to stay for like a week. But if I don't find something in a week, the first week of March for April, then I don't know how to find a place in New York when I'm not there. L.A., you can find a place, but in New York, it's really hard. I'm also going to get a P.O. box, so if you guys want to send anything, I finally, Duncan convinced me, he's like, just get a P.O. box. People have little shit to send, and you're not going to give them your address, so fucking do that. So I'll put that on my website, maybe, or I'll say it on Thursday's episode. I'm still in the two-a-week mode for another week or two. But yeah, if you have any leads on an apartment there, you know, decent. I'll live in a studio. I'd rather live in a one-bedroom. I'm not living with anybody, but I'll live in a studio if it's okay. The most I want to spend is $2,000 because I'm making this work. But so it has to be something less than that. And also, I want to include utilities in that. So honestly, like $1,800, $1,900. So if you have any ideas of a place, even small. You know, I'd love a dishwasher and stuff, but if not, what the fuck? I just want to live in New York. Let me know. Please help me out if you know anything. All right, you guys, thank you very much. Thank you to Christian and Mark Ellis for talking to me. Oh, here's what I wanted to say about Paulie. Because that guy fucking interrupts. Okay, so the first time someone's coming up the steps, I see them coming up. We're in the belly room on the stage doing this podcast. And I'm like, oh, they're coming up, but I'm going to ignore them, and they're probably going to go away. They're going to come up the steps, they're going to see what's going on, which is something that has nothing to do with them, and they're going to say, ooh, people are doing things, let me leave. But fucking self-absorbed-ass Pauly Shore goes up, sees it, and then immediately like, ah, let's go bother these guys. Like, oh, let's interrupt something. And then later when he walked through, it's like, you can see Faison Love, who went with them, was like, no, let's not bother these guys. They're doing it. They're doing something. They're recording something. Paulie's like, nah, these guys used to be door guys at the Comedy Store, so fuck them. That's pretty much went through his mind. And then he opened the door and the alarm went off. And no, like, not even a moment of like, oh, I'm sorry, guys. I didn't know that would go off. Just fuck them and keep moving. He is the most self-absorbed guy I've ever met in my life. He just thinks about himself. That's his world. That's his brain. It's only himself is existing in that brain. Who else wouldn't go around? And Faison, by the way, was resisting him, saying, we shouldn't do this. We're interrupting somebody, clearly. All right, you guys. So thank you very much for tuning in. Episode 103, Oscar the Grouch, with myself, Christian Harloff, Mark Ellis, Faison Love from the movies, and Pauly Shore, used to be from the movies. Yeah, that's it, you guys. Thank you for tuning in. Until next week, hasta la vista.
You know what really makes me hot under the collar? You name it. And the next time some goody two-shoes smiles and tells you to have a nice day, you just remember.
Don't let the sunshine spoil your brain. Just stand up and complain. Just stand up and complain.
You've seen the best part of this movie, so sit back, relax, and have a rotten time.